Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Mr. Unlimited Russell Wilson on the show. Positive energy, man. He is a positive energy type of guy. Very positive energy. Great talk with him. We have Monday Night Football cleanup. Josh Allen, incredible. Washington football team, incredible. Yes. Tuesday Night Football cleanup. Ravens smack the Cowboys around. A little college football talk. Chaos with Michigan dropping out because of COVID. Hot seat, cool throne. And then we have, Hank, you were in the bathroom. We're only going to do two. Pick the two best guys on Chicks, because after Russell Wilson, we're going to go through slide by slide fightpaul.com. Fightpaul.com, the greatest website ever made.
F-I-T-E, Paul.com.
Yes, which is fantastic. Billy Football created a website. It is unbelievable.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to ASPCA. Today is Wednesday, December 9th, and the Washington football team has taken down the since aforementioned, no longer undefeated, Pittsburgh Steelers.
It was an amazing night, Big Cat. It was magic. Did I not call it?
Yeah.
It was late afternoon. Alex Smith was bleeding out of his tibia. He had a gash on his shin the size of the Grand Canyon.
He really, when it comes to, because there was a game inside of a game, everyone knows that the Washington football team was playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it was really the game for comeback player of the year.
Oh, yeah, the winner of that was.
Alex Smith essentially dropped his nuts on the table because he's like, oh, Big Ben, you have fake COVID and both your knees broke this year, but Tomlin said you were fine and your shoulder hurts and all this. How about just gushing blood from your shin?
Yeah.
Do that.
His shoe was so ridiculous looking. It was my cause, my cleats for tibial menstruation. It looked like a Jackson Pollock painting.
I really did expect Big Ben to, like old school WWE, just get a razor blade at halftime and give himself a nice little cut across the forehead.
I mean, going into the game, Big Ben was listed as, I think it was probable, but the injury report said non-injury related right knee.
Yes.
I have no, your guess is as good as mine. I think we just means that like he caught a limp before the game at some point. But yeah, I mean, listen, the Washington football team, do we control our own destiny?
No.
No. No one controls their own destiny.
The Giants.
That's a foolish concept.
Yep.
Did we blow them out? No.
No.
Are they
Was it a comeback?
First
yes.
place? Are they, yeah, was it a comeback? Absolutely. Were there some penalties that went our way? Sure.
Who cares?
Did our quarterback stop the clock by stealing the football and running away like a crazy lady taking a baby from the hospital?
Who cares?
Allegedly, apologize. He did. Not going to apologize for winning. Washington football team's in first place, tied technically, not in first place, but really, they're in first place. The point differential is what it's going to come down to. And not only that, but I have receipts on everybody, including some of you on this podcast, who disparaged the NFC Beast.
I mean,
season.
you made fun of the NFC East as well. You can claim parity law, but you made fun of them just as much as us. Yes.
We were the redheaded stepchild, and guess what? Now we're the redheaded stepmom, and dad's out of town, and you're going to try to get with us. And listen, we might even get – you know what? I said last night, we might get two teams in the playoffs.
Okay, that's not going to happen.
I crunched numbers. We might get three teams in Big Cat.
Okay, that's not going to
happen. All we need and by crunch numbers, I mean I went on the ESPN playoff machine for like an hour until I got the equation right. And if Tampa Bay ties the Vikings this week, then the Eagles could also get in.
So you did make fun of the NFC East just as much as us, and I'm not apologizing for making fun of the NFC East. Wow, it took you till week 13 to get two teams for five wins. That's great. The Bears did it in like week six, no big deal.
What about the Bears' 5-1 record?
Yeah, not apologizing. But in all honesty, I think that the NFC East jokes are gone in the fact that whether it be the Washington football team or the New York Giants, both of those teams are good teams that if they get in the playoffs, they could win a game. So it eliminates the mockery aspect of can you believe, like, I think what happened was everything just flipped on its head where everyone the whole time was saying, oh, my God, we're going to have to watch the Eagles and the Cowboys in the playoffs. Like, one of these two teams is going to make it. No. Mm-hmm. Those teams suck. The Washington football team and New York Giants are good teams that are playing well in the most important month of the year. And if they make the playoffs, I'll probably bet on them.
Yeah. And listen, I'm circling the wagons with our division. There's a lot. I'm rooting for the division now.
But you did parody law. You made fun of the NFC East just as much as us.
Yeah, of course I got my jollies in when I could. But the reality is I'm actually totally rooting for the Giants. I want the Giants to win.
No, you're not.
Oh, yeah. I want the Giants to win all their games. I want them to go undefeated, run the table down the stretch. I want the football team to also run the table. And then we both get in. Wale's on board, too. Wale was saying pretty much the same thing.
You don't want the Giants to win.
Wait, what about the Eagles?
You don't want the Giants to win.
I could give
game.
Or take the Eagles.
You do not want the Giants.
I thought we were going for the three-team situation.
No, you don't.
I want both the Giants and the football team to make the playoffs. The only way that happens is if both teams win out for the rest of the season, there's a good chance that they would both make the playoffs.
But that's insane.
It's very insane.
You want the Giants to lose.
It is fucking stupid.
Yeah, you want the Giants to lose.
You sound like
one of these Big Ten guys,
Big Cat. Big Cat, you will not incept me into disavowing the entire division, the fire from which the Washington football team has emerged. Trial buff, the iron that has sharpened the iron of the football team.
So week 17, they both win their next three games. If the Washington football team wins, they're in. If the Giants win, they're in. You're rooting for the Giants to win?
Yes, week 17 against the Cowboys. Absolutely.
You want them to win and kick the Washington football team out?
No. Oh, you mean if it's like one or the other?
Yeah, which it will be.
Then, of course, I'm going to go with the football
team. Okay. But that's what it's going
to
be.
What I want to happen
is you want
is five
I get
and
it.
Five.
You want two teams.
Here's a good analogy.
But you don't want the Giants to win, let's be honest.
The NFC East is Tractorcito. We only get going once the weather starts turning. That's when it's NFC East weather.
Okay. You don't want the Giants to win, though.
I do.
You want the Washington football team to get in. The best chance for them to get in is for the Giants to lose.
I want both of those things to happen.
Okay. But
if we lose a game, yes, I'll be the biggest Giants hater in the world. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying this is all from a place that you wouldn't know. You don't root for the NFC East. You don't know what it means, that division.
I mean, I've been the biggest Giants supporter ever.
It goes back
in
and
the
forth,
media.
Back and forth.
No, I got laughed out of this room for calling them a good team 3 weeks
good-ish.
Ago. By you and Hank. Still haven't had an apology.
I mean, it's still true.
What?
They're
not
joke.
A good team?
No.
So what's the Washington football team?
An under 500 team. Not good.
Hank's always going to hate on the Giants. Hey, Hank, sorry about those two Super Bowls.
So wait, you think they both suck?
Yeah.
No, they don't both suck.
Yes.
Dude, that front seven that the football team has is elite. Elite. I said it. Capital E, capital I, capital E, capital T, elite.
If you weren't R word, whatever the fuck, no names fan.
We're a football team.
We would not be talking about them for this long.
No, that's true.
Because they're trash.
No, they're not.
Should we talk about Josh Allen, who was awesome?
He's elite.
Not trash.
He was awesome. I loved that game. Josh Allen looked so good. The Bills, now they feel like a team that is also like, their defense is starting to round into form. Shout out Nick Mullins, who is one of the greatest garbage time quarterbacks of all time. Like that drive at the end of the game. Did you see that stat? The fastest or the most yards in their first 12 games in the NFL. It was Mahomes, Andrew Luck, and Nick Mullins.
Holy
shit.
1, 2, 3.
That's
amazing.
Because at the end of games, he is just racking up yards.
Yeah.
He runs the best 2-minute offense down 14 or 17 with a minute and 10 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Ever. Ever.
And you know what the weird thing is? I could also see the 49ers coming back and winning like 3 out of their next 4 games.
Well, that would.
They could always surprise.
Three. Yeah, we're going back to the Washington football.
3 out of the next 4.
4, yeah.
What's the one? No, but I'm saying that the 49ers, I don't think that they're a bad team, which means that this win by the Buffalo Bills was even that more impressive.
Yeah, no,
Josh Allen played his nuts off. And what I really love, I don't think that there's a combination of quarterback to wide receiver that I enjoy watching more in the NFL than Josh Allen to Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
Because when Cole Beasley, when his little body catches a Josh Allen pass, it knocks him back like 5 yards. He gets knocked into the end zone on a regular basis by the velocity of Josh Allen's pass.
It's actually it would be Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, DK and Russell Wilson, Josh Allen and Cole Beasley, and then what? I'm being honest. Maybe Stephon Diggs is on there.
No, I'm just saying like the...
No, I know, the most fun to watch.
Yeah, the visual.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the most fun to watch. Yeah. These are the most fun to watch. And then I'm trying to think of what's the least fun to watch of any receiver quarterback combination.
Let's see. I would probably go with Ben DiNucci and anyone.
Yeah. Probably Mitch Trubisky and Cole Kmet.
No, because Mitch can fire in there.
That's fun, actually.
Mike Glennon and whoever plays receiver on the Jaguars.
Yeah, the fourth receiver on the Jaguars.
Not DJ Chark.
Yeah, that would be up there.
Laviska Shenault.
LaVisca Chenault's okay. I like him.
Yeah.
Colorado. Very Shout cool out name Colorado. Too. Shout out the Buffaloes. Drew Locke and trying to throw it to anyone.
Drew Locke, Jameis Winston and any linebacker.
Did you mention the Short King stat, PFT?
So, yeah, what was that Short King stat? It was like he's the first to...
He scored his 33rd career touchdown, the most ever by a player 5'8 or shorter.
We love to see it. That's
Cole
a lot
Beasley.
Of touchdowns, yeah.
Damn, Stephon Diggs also is a stud. But, yeah, the Bills Darren's were Rose. Awesome. And then, I mean, we had so much football. Finally, week 13 has ended. We're actually watching the fourth quarter right now. The Cowboys, the Ravens bounce back. I kind of felt like this was going to happen.
Yeah,
the Cowboys are bad.
It's out of watermelon season now. You can't get them in stores. So
yeah.
That the magic was going to wear off a little bit.
And now the Ravens are heading for a Monday Night Football game against the Browns next week, where if you're the Ravens and you win that game, you now feels like you got your mojo back.
A little bit, yeah, but...
Because that's Monday night against the Browns.
They haven't looked that...
Wyatt Teller might be out.
They're winning right now. It's about to be 27-17 or 27-13. And they haven't really looked dominant ever.
Win's a win.
The Cowboys' defense...
Weird schedule.
Stinks.
Yeah, very bad.
They stink. Booger at one point... I like this. I don't really know what it means. But Booger tweeted out, rough, rough night for Van Der Esch. His eyes are so nosy.
Dirty eyes.
He's got, well, smelly eyes.
No, what's the
He got faked out on Lamar Jackson's touchdown.
Yeah, yeah, big time. He ran his own personal Greg Williams cover zero on that play up the middle.
Greg Williams got fired too.
Yeah.
Which was to be expected.
Eyes
Dr.
are
Heat.
So nosy. I would want a linebacker whose nose is hungry, like Lawrence Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
A very hungry nose.
Yes, yes. All right, so that's NFL Week 13. Anything else? Any other thoughts we got to get out there?
I mean, you're right, RIP Dr. Heat.
Dr. Heat. He'll find his way somewhere.
He will.
Someone will get addicted to the Heat. He will now. We're rooting for, obviously, the Jets to go 0-16, because if you're a Jets fan, you want Trevor Lawrence. But also, Dr. Heat being part of two of the three all-time 0-16 teams is quite a stat.
That's a great
that I would absolutely love for him to have.
What about this? What about our friend Jeff Fisher reuniting with his own defensive coordinator?
I want him to get the Vanderbilt job.
Yeah.
Also, Dr. Heat, remember, Dr. Heat will be fine because according to Dr. Heat, he had so many head coaching offers last time that there were actually teams that told him, just show up. You don't even have to interview. Yeah. Just sign the paper and you'll be a head coach.
Come on in, Dr. Heat.
The most delusional guy in the world.
You know how you're always on the lookout for Pete Carroll's twin. It's like your mystery.
Yeah, we'll
hunt.
Get to that with Russell Wilson confirmed.
I've been Mandela affected into thinking that Greg Williams had a FUPA.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact he at one point had a FUPA.
But we can't find it.
No, I've done a lot of research on Getty Images.
A lot.
Shutterstock.
Yeah, and you can't find it. Do you have it?
When I came into work yesterday, he was checking up on it. When I left, he was the last person in the mm-hmm. office still just scrolling through Getty Images.
I found some. So the FUPA era for Greg Williams, and it was a baby FUPA that was kind of enhanced by his man boobs at the time.
A boopa?
It was a boopa. When he was on the Saints, he had
a little chunky.
He got addicted to wearing those giant front khakis with the big pleats like Phil Mickelson used to wear in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm. They're like MC Hammer pants.
Yeah, like he was getting drafted in 2001.
Yeah.
And his FUPA, it existed, but it was exacerbated by the pants.
So do you have a picture of it or no?
I've got several pictures on my computer. See. You want me to pull it up?
Yeah.
I'll pull them up. The thing is, okay, here they are. Here's a good one. There's one when he's on the R-Words. See, that's a little FUPA.
Yeah.
He's got a little pooch right there.
Mm-hmm.
A boopa.
And here's the pants in question. These pants.
I saw them. Yeah,
on
yeah.
the Saints. Yeah.
I like those.
Little FUPA.
I like those.
Mission accomplished.
There we go. And
also,
a day well spent.
Yeah.
Yep. What? 2 days. Carson Wentz, no longer starting quarterback. We can get to that later.
Yeah, yeah. Stole my cool throne. Sorry. We talked about it before. Yeah,
and sorry. Roger Goodell's king sauce for letting this game happen. Doesn't care about player safety.
Oh, you think now he doesn't care about player safety? What made you think that?
That's true, but he
I mean,
he's just trying to keep
he doesn't care about. There's nothing that Roger Goodell cares less about than player safety.
True. So I'm trying to think what the decision making process was before the game. Dez Bryant tested positive while on the field in warmups. He was mm-hmm. hugging people. He was shaking hands with his former coaches. He was, I guess, around his team, but they did contact tracing, and I guess they wear some sort of device that tells you how close you were to somebody.
Right.
And so they said no one else on the Ravens spent enough time close to him, which is Dez Bryant a bad teammate?
It's a lie, too.
Yeah,
like,
probably just
a lie.
My theory was that Jerry Jones just, because he is the shadow commissioner, called up Roger Goodell and was like, I don't want Dez to play against me.
We learned it on Sunday when there was, seven false positives on the Chiefs. The hypothetical that always gets thrown out there is people, whenever there's a test, they're like, well, what if it was Patrick Mahomes in prime time? Well, we found out. Yeah. If it's Patrick Mahomes in prime time, they will play the game.
What if it was all the Ravens wide receivers, kind of like it was the Broncos and their entire quarterback room?
I don't think that it would change what they do pretty much at all. Because none of them can catch anyway.
That's very true.
Yeah, they're not a great bunch. All right, you want to do college football? So Ohio State, Michigan has opted out of the game, the big game. Good, everyone got their Jim Harbaugh jokes off. That was like one of those moments where if you weren't on Twitter the moment the game canceled, don't even try to make your Jim Harbaugh joke because they all got mm-hmm. made. And now Ohio State is sitting there. Currently ineligible for the Big Ten championship game. Don't know if they'll be able to schedule another game this weekend. There's word from Sir Yacht that maybe Texas A&M's out there.
Good enough for me.
I got into Twitter arguments with idiot fans for the whole day because they don't realize that we should change the rules for Ohio State to prop them up.
Yeah.
Because stop thinking like small brains. Essentially.
No, that's correct. That's exactly right. It's like, these people must be stupefied by the fact that rich people can afford better tax lawyers and attractive women get out of speeding tickets. Yes, these are facts of life. If you're Ohio State and you carry the Big Ten, the rules are going to be changed for you. They change. These aren't like, this isn't the Bible. These aren't the Ten Commandments that were written down in stone tablets 2,000 years ago, longer ago than that. Jake, how old was Moses in the tablets?
He's Old Testament guy. So here's my biggest point is, so the Big Ten is so, at least some fans of the Big Ten are so antiquated with like reality. They have no perception of reality. They're not in touch with reality. They think that the rest of the Big Ten is on the same playing field as Ohio State. They are not. I root for a Big Ten team. They are not. Ohio State is playing a different sport and on a different level. Same with Alabama, same with Clemson. Those three teams are playing on a different level than everyone else. That's a reality of college football. There's nothing you can do about it. They're an absolute monster Death Star. They're going to keep on rolling and keep on kicking ass. You have one of two ways to look at it. It's let's keep Ohio State out and hurt them and hurt the rest of the Big Ten, hoping that if we drag them back to the rest of the Big Ten, we can compete better. That's loser thinking. That is absolute loser thing. Or you could say, hey, Ohio State going to the college football playoff is good for the perception of the Big Ten. It's $6 million to the conference that gets dispersed evenly. Maybe we should focus on getting our team better instead of trying to drag Ohio State back down. And guess what the good conferences do? The SEC props up their winners. The ACC, 2 weeks ago, did exactly this. They literally fucked over Miami and canceled Notre Dame's last game and put them in the championship game because they said, guess what? We have a chance to get Clemson and Notre Dame into the college football playoff. We're going to put them in the championship game, hope Clemson wins a narrow win, and both those teams go, and we get $12 million to our conference.
Yeah.
And then everyone says, well, okay, $6 million, what the fuck does that buy? That buys nothing. That's you disperse it, it's $500,000. Go read this article. I've mentioned it a couple times before, but if you want to be the Pac-12 and you want to be resigned to being a fucking afterthought for the college football playoff and in like the national landscape of college football like the Pac-12 is right now, go read this article I've mentioned before on Oregon Live from like 2018. John Canzano wrote it about Larry Scott and his ridiculous spending and how stupid he has been and putting like the Pac-12 offices in San Francisco and the rent is insane, whereas the SEC's office is literally in like a dentist's office in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. So in this article, they actually had a
Wait,
quote
that can't be right.
Yeah, no,
a dentist's office.
No, it's not. Birmingham. It's like a two-story. It's
probably a liposuction.
Yeah, right. Well, they call it a dentist. You just go and get Greg Sankey would literally
it's
pull
a guy,
your teeth.
It's
out
a guy with the biggest hammer in the state.
Yeah. So in this article, they actually broke it down, and I'm reading it from this article. It says. David Bartu, who's a managing partner of Matrix Analytical Solutions, consults with some of the top football programs in the country. When asked if handing each member university even another $500,000 annually would make a significant difference, he offered a sobering thought, saying it could be the difference between your program getting a top offensive or defensive coordinator and missing out. Can you buy an extra strength and conditioning coach? Can you buy better nutrition? How about a better weight room? Every fucking dollar matters, especially in COVID. So shut up, prop up Ohio State, realize that you're never going to be them, and make the Big Ten get into the conference. And I'm not rooting for Ohio State. There's a big difference. People are like, well, you're like doing the SEC thing. I'm not.
Yeah, I would never root for another team.
I want the Big Ten to have more money.
Right.
I want the Big Ten to be better at football across the board. Ohio State lifts us up.
It makes total sense.
It's crazy that you have to say it.
The only fan base that I could see not liking this decision would be Michigan, just because you don't want to see Ohio State succeed at all.
Well, Indiana has a little bit of a tiny little bit of argument because right now, under the rules, they would make
but
the Big
Ohio
Ten
State beat Indiana. So I don't think so.
Right.
With Michigan, it's like, you don't want to see them succeed ever. No matter you will take pain for yourself if it means that the people in Ohio and Columbus don't get any pleasure whatsoever. What I don't understand, what I've been trying to figure out all day, is why Nebraska is so mad about this. And the only reason is that I can figure out that Nebraska's mad because they invented college football this offseason.
Correct.
And they wanted to play games out of conference.
Yes.
And were told that they weren't allowed to. So they're like, hey, we didn't get this. So why is Ohio State getting it?
Well,
and it's like, give me a fucking break. Like, Nebraska is going to be like, we're going to leave the Big Ten because we're not treated.
They have nowhere to go.
That's like Wes Borland quitting Limp Bizkit. And he's like, this band is about me.
Right.
I can succeed on my own.
Right. Go. I saw that argument. Oh, the other teams
the
will
Wes
mutiny.
Borland one?
No, not that one. But the other teams will mutiny. Okay, go mutiny. You're not going anywhere. Nebraska tried, and the Big Ten slapped him in the face and said, hey, get in line. Nebraska's argument at least makes a little bit of sense on a just purely like fair, like it's basically like a toddler being like, hey, this isn't fair.
Yeah.
We got this taken away and then you give it to Big Brother. That's not fair. You are right on that. It is not fair. Life is not fair. You're not Ohio State. Ohio State pays your bills, helps pay your bills. If the situations were different and you were going to the college football playoff every couple of years, you would get preferential treatment. And I have no problem with that. And again, this is coming from a guy who hates Ohio State. So, like, you should listen. I hate Ohio State.
You do.
But I know what's better for Wisconsin is for Ohio State to get the money, disperse it, and have a team in the college football playoff and not fall behind like the Pac-12.
Did the over just hit?
Yes, it did.
Love it. Thank you. I'm a genius.
There it is.
Missed all my bets.
Although they threw a flag. They threw a flag.
Shit.
So maybe not.
Fuck.
So that was my rant. I get passionate about it. I love college football so much.
I saw somebody pull up a map. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but it shows exactly in between College Station and Columbus, Ohio, Memphis.
Done.
Memphis. Play it in the fucking the giant pyramid that's also a Bass Pro Shop.
Yes. Play Dude, that game would be so awesome. We said this on Sunday, but the flexible scheduling should come to college football where every team should leave like an open date at the end of the season where you can say, hey, we're on the outside looking in. Like Texas right. A&M needs some help. Do you know what help would get them in? Beating Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Like they would, if they beat Ohio State, the only thing that would keep them out is Florida beating Alabama and Clemson beating Notre Dame, and the committee decides those four. But even if that happened, I don't think...
Wait, so if Florida beats Alabama A&M beats Ohio State, what happens in the SEC? You think it's going to be Florida
and Alabama? They'll keep Alabama in. Like if Florida beats Alabama in the SEC championship game, they'll find a way to get Florida and Alabama in, and the same thing in the ACC.
That's kind of what I'm rooting for, just to see all the people in College Station flip out.
Yeah, it would suck,
dude. Perfect.
But then again, they got smoked by
snipe the commissioner of the college football playoff from like 5 miles away,
and they would have a legit gripe because they did beat Florida.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They would have a totally legit. They also got killed by Alabama. But this is, college football is fun. I love debating college football. It's fun to talk about. I just want Big Ten fans, if you root for a Big Ten team, stop having a small rinky dink brain and start thinking big picture.
Agreed.
That's it.
You're the Big Ten. You're supposed to be the smart.
I'll be
conference.
The fucking commissioner. That's
actually not a Big Ten way to go about things. Big Ten. Like Michigan men, you're supposed to be like these institutions of higher learning,
right?
And logic and reason comes first. You're thinking like the most logical person on earth,
right?
What you're doing if you're a fan of one of these schools, trying to not let Ohio State play this game. That's SEC mentality.
Well, the SEC would just cancel this, like the rest of the season, and put Ohio State in no matter what.
Yeah,
like ACC. The ACC literally, and people will say, well, don't make rules in the first place if you're going to change them. The ACC just did that. They knew what to do because they're a smart conference that's trying to get more money.
Right. These aren't rules that Kevin Warren sat down in early October and said, I think these are going to be the rules this year.
Yeah.
It's not the Bible.
And he's an idiot. He deserves all the blame. We're only in this spot because he decided to cancel the season and then restart the season with no bye weeks and hope it went well, which, guess what? It was never going to go well. So he gets all the blame. I totally agree there. But God damn it. Everyone fucking figure it out. All right. So that over did officially hit, right?
Why don't we just get put in charge of everything?
I agree.
Who says no?
This will be the platform I run for Mac commissioner in like 10 years. I'll be like, remember my thoughts on propping up Ohio State? I will make a Super Mac team, and we will put all the best talent into one school. We'll rotate the school, and that school will go to the college football playoff.
I like it.
And then guess what? $6 million to the Mac is literally like you can buy a whole new school.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's incredible.
You develop a pyramid scheme.
Yes, yes.
Do you want to start a school in Manchester, Ohio?
Get every good player and put them on one team, and then we'll pull out of a hat. We'll actually do it like the FIFA ping pong balls.
Mm-hmm.
I have a ping pong ball machine. That part, the hard part's done. Every year, we'll pull it out and be like, all right, Ball State, you get all the good players.
Dude, it's everyone worked for Step Ladder for the last 35 years, and he's still unindicted. So I think it could work in rural America.
All right, let's do Hot
Seat. Which I love.
Yes, let's do Hot Seat Cool Throne.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hank.
Oh, my hot seat is Duke.
Ooh.
Wait, I got a joke. Duke.
That's a funny joke.
They're a fucking joke, dude.
My Blue Devils
they're a joke.
Last 2 weeks, lost to Michigan State. lost to Illinois. I don't even know. What was the team they were playing, Jake? That it was their first Division I game
Bellarmine.
Ever?
Bellarmine.
They followed me on Twitter. They have like 800 followers, their team account. It was their first D1 game ever. Shout out the Bellarmine Damn. Knights out of Louisville, Kentucky.
And covered. Duke
Bellarmine
only,
is
yeah.
Duke
was an 8-point game at half.
Yeah, Duke
they're
was
the
only by
Dixie
8
State
half.
Of the East, right?
Yeah, Bellarmine, yeah. Dixie State, and Tarleton State are all new teams.
Not to take excuses from my other sports, but I'm just going to say, you know, they lost Michigan State and Illinois at home.
Did you throw an S there?
No home field advantage. There was no came of crazies. So you gotta wonder how much of a difference that is.
Yeah, so wait, did Coach K at least go into Bellarmine's locker room after the game and teach them important life lessons?
I don't know. I'm just talking about the home games.
Since it was the first D1 game ever, that's probably the first game they ever had a spread, because I don't think D2 games have spreads.
Yeah.
So the winning at most covering team of all
ever.
Time.
Most covering team, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to Bench Mob.
But yeah, Duke stinks.
You guys gave him that pick ahead of time, right?
I didn't give that pick.
Jake.
I mean, I got to be honest.
God damn it, Jake.
Come on,
by the way, before the game tonight, we were watching the pregame on Fox here, and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman popped on the TV, and Jake was like, is Joe Buck going to do 3 games in 5 days?
Oh, my God.
And his eyes lit up. They got wide. And then he was like, no, wait. Oh, my God. It's 4 games in a week.
That's really cool.
It is cool.
It's just like
cool.
16 games
Jake,
in October.
No, very cool.
No, yeah. I know, but football specifically is much tougher to prep for. So the fact that he's doing Tuesday and Thursday is
actually
it's very cool.
If,
Jake.
Why do we keep talking about Joe Buck? Thanks. Troy Aikman is like, dude, he can't do this many games. He's the real warrior.
Well, let's be honest, Jake. The color guys don't have to prep. They don't. They're not.
Well, Troy Aikman doesn't. He doesn't have to study for Cowboys games. He can do those with his eyes.
That's true.
But
that's
no,
true.
I'm jealous of that workload. That's awesome.
You're jealous of that load. Okay.
Yeah. And then my cool load. My cool throne is aliens.
Wait. We moved off Duke too fast. Do you think Coach K? This could be the end. Like he doesn't have a team that's, you know, are they going to miss the tournament?
Okay, so I would not,
not
be
if
surprised.
They put every team in the tournament.
I would not be surprised at all if after like a month and a few more bad losses, Coach K pulled his team from the season because
COVID.
This was bigger than sports.
Yep.
You want to make sure that these kids stay healthy. Which
they're
I mean,
putting
honestly,
on a full court press right now. Full
honestly,
disclosure: if they win this
run.
Game,
yes,
remove all of this from the situation.
A decent thing to do before if
take
he did that
this
before
off
the season, if he actually believed in it. But once he gets a little losing streak going, he is definitely liable to be like, listen, we're not going to go through the motions. The most important thing is keeping these kids healthy.
He might do. He might double it. He might be like, we got to keep them healthy. And also, there's a lot of social justice issues out there that they got to focus on.
Yeah.
He might double down.
He will
Don't...
be waving a lot of flags.
Yeah. Coach K could absolutely do that. Okay?
Wait,
one last
on?
Thing.
Yeah.
No. I'm just going to relish in this for a second.
It's,
all right,
I mean,
okay.
you admit it's the no fans, like...
Cameron Indoor, it looks really strange without any fans at all. There's just a massive space behind the basket. Like, I don't
like
know.
if you're these teams, you don't feel like they're real wins.
I would say
if
Illinois
you're a fan
wins
of these
this game
teams.
Tonight, they absolutely will feel like this is a real win.
I don't know,
but they actually are struggling with this press, so we might have just jinxed the fuck out of them.
I hope so.
I my have cool, them, so I hope not.
My cool throne is aliens.
Okay,
do you guys see this?
Yes.
You took
the head of Israel's space security program, 30 years. Said he did an interview. He's 87 years old, so keep that, take it with a grain of salt. But he said there is agreements made between aliens in the U.S. which ostentatiously have been made because they wish to research and understand the fabric of the universe. Their cooperation includes a secret underground base on Mars.
Is that an alien word?
Where there are American and alien representatives.
Tough to read alien.
Ostentatiously.
Ostensibly.
Ostensibly. It's a tough one. There's like six.
Ostentatious?
So yeah, aliens are aliens. Apparently the aliens have been here. We're in cahoots with them. There's an underground lab on Mars. So that's just,
what
know,
is
that's
it,
exciting.
It's a federation, right? The Universal Federation?
Galactic.
Yeah, the Galactic Federation.
What about, what? How do we know that there's...
An existence of a Galactic Federation.
How do we know that there's underground shit on Mars if we've never been there?
Because this guy is the head of security, and he said so. Mm-hmm.
For Israel?
Yeah.
Is Israel on
Israel's
Mars?
Space security. So that's just like, you know, all of space, basically.
Right. Okay. Yes, he's in charge of all.
We don't know that he hasn't been there.
He's highly academically decorated. He's like not a kook.
So okay.
So it's kind of a little concerning, and that's why everyone's saying it's serious.
No, I think that's great. If he's telling the truth, that's probably the best news that we've ever gotten.
Yeah.
Like knowing that there are aliens here and we've been able to just chill with them forever.
That's why the stock market went up.
Yeah, today. That's great.
Oh,
news.
Is that why?
Mm-hmm.
Aliens. Stonks. Aliens buy stocks.
Yes.
All right, PFT.
More land, more real estate.
It's not stocks,
but it's all
connected. All one
it's all one song. It's all one song.
It's the universal economy.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. My hot seat is gym memberships.
Oh,
gym memberships officially endangered because your boy just got a home gym.
I saw
a home gym system. The Iron Dungeon is what I'm calling it. I got one barbell, but it's the adjustable barbell, so or dumbbell, so you can. I think it goes from like 10 pounds to 70 pounds.
Yep.
Didn't realize how heavy it was going to be. How heavy weights are until they're shipped to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to take that box upstairs and you're like, what the hell is in here? My dumb brain thought it would be a lot lighter than that.
Right.
I don't know how that works.
You thought it'd be like 10 pounds?
Yeah, I thought it'd be like 10 pounds. And then
it becomes 70?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really think that through.
I actually kind of agree with you.
Yeah. You don't expect a box to be that heavy.
Yeah, that's false advertising.
Yeah. And so I took it upstairs, took it out of the box. And at that point, I realized I'd only purchased one. So I have one dumbbell.
One is all you need. Cock push-ups.
I thought I had two. But I'm just going to try to ride it out with it. I think I can get shredded off one dumbbell.
Yeah.
I don't think you need an entire gym for that. I think all you need is a Peloton. And Billy's laughing at me. Billy, you don't know shit about working out. You can't even bench press 285 pounds.
You should see how jacked one side of your body can be.
No, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Just work out my right arm.
Yeah. You work out
no, your right arm and right,
right
legs.
Like stuff.
Squats and shoulder raises.
That would probably be really bad for my back at some point.
It'd
but
be very funny
I,
to be lopsided.
Yeah, I did get a workout in this morning. And I was like, this is fine. I can do this. I'm like laying back on my bench, just doing one arm at a time.
This is telling on myself, but are gyms closed?
No.
Okay.
But I know that my gym is probably about to close.
Yeah, because I haven't had gym membership in a long ass time.
I don't like the concept of going to a gym and working out wearing a mask.
Yeah.
I need to breathe free.
Yeah, it's restricting.
It's very restricting, so I just choose not to go.
I don't want to choke to death.
That's why I haven't worked out in 6 months.
It legit sucks.
Yeah.
I did it.
Billy, you work out in your barn.
No, I was working out at a gym with my buddy, and we had to wear masks, and it sucks.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't want to do any of that. But I do have my home gym now. So if anybody has any suggestions of ways to get absolutely shredded for this upcoming summer, which is going to be a blowout, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
As a 27-year-old, I'm in the prime of my life.
It's your last summer of your
20s. It's the last summer, and then I get to enter the real world as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
My cool throne is William Shakespeare.
Yes.
Billy.
Also kind of a stay woke. So William Shakespeare, he's this old dude. He's like 87 years old in England. He was the first person in line to get the COVID vaccine in England. Had pictures taken of him. It got put everywhere on the news. Stay woke. This man was put in line first intentionally.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. They wanted to spread the news that they were doing the vaccine. Second of all, it was the lottery for any news organization in terms of quote tweets today.
Mm-hmm.
People like William Shakespeare, quote tweet, taming of the flu. You know, there was all sorts of like very hacky jokes that were being made. I bit my lip, did not make one. I'd like credit
to you.
Also credit to Hank for fooling the entire internet.
Oh my God, how stupid. Like, I mean, I'm going to say this.
You're
dumb, but you're not that dumb.
I'm not the smartest piece of dough on the cookie plate, but...
But
I'm smarter than that.
You're smarter than that.
Specifically, you are.
You are way smarter than that. The fact that people like.
So we should
again,
say.
You're not smart, but you are way smarter than
what
that.
Hank said. It was a quote tweet, and Hank was like, man, this is crazy. First, I learned that Pablo Picasso died in like the 1960s, and now I learned William Shakespeare was born in the 1900s. That's wild.
Yeah.
And everybody thought that Hank was dumb enough.
Everyone's like,
say
you got to discuss this.
The New York Post might just rerun this story all week just to get the maximum amount of quote tweets out of it.
Just only famous people getting, only famous names getting the vaccine.
I will say, if you put the two pictures up next to each other, they look alike.
Yeah, true.
So,
also, looks like a British guy.
Today I learned that he was married to Anne Hathaway.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is Anne Hathaway was named after Anne Hathaway.
Nice.
Or they're both vampires.
Or they're both vampires, like Nick Cage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Nick Cage is a vampire. All right, my hot seat is Louisville head coach Scott Satterfield. I don't know if you guys saw this, but all-time foot in the mouth, like, tore. He had, like, 3 days straight of this. So the backstory is he's a Louisville head coach. He's been there for a year and a half. He's from, I think, North Carolina. South Carolina job opens. He interviews for it on Friday. Doesn't get it. Then has to come back and be like, whoops, didn't get it. Sorry, everyone. I love Louisville. And then he did a press conference where he basically said, he was like, listen, I love Louisville. I love everyone here. But if North Carolina and North Carolina State come calling, I will also take those interviews. Mm-hmm. And then on top of all of that, he did an interview where he was asked, like, what's the deal? Why do you think, like, so the question was, the argument has been made that Louisville may be a better job than South Carolina. That I don't know who's making that argument. That obviously depends on Papa who you John. Ask and where they live. But what about Louisville made you want to stay? Which, let's be honest, he didn't want to stay. He just didn't get the job. He said, with Louisville and the support we have, the outstanding fans, the airport is 3 minutes away. There's a lot of positives you can see here.
You're going to make fun of the airport thing, but to me, that's a big bonus.
No, it is.
That's the biggest.
But it's not great to be like, I love this city so much. The best part about it is I can get out of here really quickly.
That's true.
Like,
not a bad way to look at it. And if you're a Louisville fan, you're longing for the days of having a coach that is good at lying.
That's like,
you miss Bobby Petrino. You miss Rick Pitino. You miss the entire stable that they used to have that were slick enough to get away with stuff.
Yes.
This Satterfield guy sounds like a real bonehead.
It's like saying, like, oh, I love Philly. The best part about Philly is it's only an hour train to New York.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so you don't love Louisville. You just want to get on a plane. And then, on top of all of that,
this guy was the one thing that he missed in saying the stuff that he loved about Louisville is being like, it's a great city. It's got all four seasons.
Yes.
That's what you say about a town that you fucking hate.
Yeah.
And you can't think of a way to spin zone your way into, like, oh, this is why I'm justified staying here. You're like, it's got some winter.
Yes. This guy went from interviewing for a job on Friday to basically making it so that no one will ever hire him again. Like, he has to stay in Louisville.
Yeah.
They should blow up the airport and make him stay there. So, because on top of all of that, he also said he was trying to make the argument that it's harder for coaches than players. He says, as players, it's a little bit different than coaches. Sometimes you like to lump coaches in with players. As a player, you're there for 3 to 4 years, and then you're done. As players, you don't have a family, which, what? Yeah, they do. Almost all of them have families.
Some of them have kids.
Yeah. It's just you. As coaches, and I'm just thinking in general terms here, coaches have wives and kids as a job. Are they going to be a job at 40 years? There are a lot of different things that are involved in coaching with players. Like I said, it's 3 to 4 years, and they have to be all in.
As opposed to South Carolina, where everyone's just single, going to Club Med all the time and fucking each other.
Dude, you get paid millions of dollars. I think you can be okay with that being your job. And college kids who are exceptional athletes, because that's why they're there, getting to be there for four or five years, but also, like, players have families.
They
move from their families to play for you. Actually, the recruitment that you should be doing is, when your kid comes here, I'm like a second dad to him.
Mm-hmm. What this tells me is that Papa John does not like this guy at all. Because if you're the head coach of Louisville football and Papa John likes you, you are very comfortable in Louisville. You never want to. In fact, Papa John probably has a contract out on you if you ever leave Louisville.
Yes.
So I think Papa John has, the fact that he's not paying close enough attention to this guy tells me that that he's not in the good graces of the boosters.
Unreal, like, 3 days stretch for him where he just basically torpedoed everything with those press conferences. And then my cool throne is Carson Wentz. And I know that sounds kind of counterintuitive, but I actually think Carson Wentz getting benched was the greatest thing that's ever happened to Carson Wentz.
Dude, he's going to get paid to not play football.
And he's really bad.
Yes.
So now he doesn't have to be really bad every week. I'm sure he dreaded playing football.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be exposed to those loud noises anymore.
Right.
If I'm – actually, let me pose this to you. Hypothetical question. If Jeffrey Lurie asked you, if he said, Big Cat, I will pay you $20 million to kidnap Carson Wentz, would you do it?
So we're, like, talking, like, Celtic pride here?
Yeah, kidnap him. Just get him off the books for a while.
Yeah, I'd do it for 20 cash.
$20 million cash. you probably have to, you yourself would probably have to go off the grid. It would be like a like an Alpha Dog scenario. Remember that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
It ended really well.
Yeah.
But just like take him, go off in the desert somewhere and smoke weed for, I don't know, 13, 14 months.
Yep.
Until he gets declared legally dead after he's been missing for a while.
I'm in.
And then you bring him back. Jeffrey Lurie doesn't have to pay him, I would assume.
I'm in.
At least, at the very least, he would pay Carson Wentz's family. The cap hit wouldn't be incurred at that point.
I love it. I love this idea. I'm in. Let's do it. Jeffrey Lurie, we are at your disposal.
And
pay
us. I feel like Carson Wentz would be a good dude to chill with just out in nature for a while. He's probably a good survivalist.
Right. Yes.
He's from the Dakotas.
He could shingle the house with ducks.
You would never go hungry.
Yes. I like that. All right, Billy, you got a hot seat, cool throne?
Hot seat, coconut oil, cool throne. Alex Smith's leg, it was bleeding, and he was able to run around on it.
Oh, that's
why
crazy.
Coconut oil, Billy?
Why coconut oil?
I don't know. I was going to do Cool Throne Aliens. And
you just randomly came up with coconut oil?
Yeah.
Billy thinks about four things. He thinks about steroids.
Cod.
Working out.
I think there's more to Billy's hot take than he's letting on.
And then
he's not explaining
any substance that has ever touched his penis.
Any get-rich-quick scheme that doesn't involve the easiest get-rich-quick scheme by fighting in Rough and Rowdy. I mean, it's literally the... Whatever. Billy's really just spends all this time like...
You'd wear
make $20,000 quick.
You would wear coconut oil during Rough and Rowdy?
You get all lubed up.
Jake, do you have one real quick?
Yeah, I do.
I want to talk to Billy, though, about like the gash that was on Wentz's leg, because I forgot to ask this earlier. Did they ever say that they stitched him up?
Alex Smith's leg?
Yeah.
I think he just got cleated.
Yeah, he did, but he was bleeding. So you know how badly you have to be bleeding to have it show up through a burgundy sock?
I have a feeling that whatever sort of situation he had down there has a lot of blood flow due to the reconstructive surgery.
Yeah.
It was the other leg. Okay.
So wait, but you got to tell us what's going on with the coconut oil.
You got to Google it.
No, come on, tell us.
How are you going to say that and then be like, Google it?
Tell us what's going on with the coconut oil. Billy?
It has to do with the aliens.
What about it?
So you know those big metal structures?
This is a lie.
Have been popping
up? Okay, this is a lie.
It's artists.
What's the coconut
oil? It's a giant coconut oil ad.
What's the coconut oil?
Since Billy's so much of a pussy to say it, for whatever reason... this dude, Jay Alvarez, had like a sex tape leaked, and he used like so much coconut oil that people thought it was an ad.
Like, why wouldn't you say it, Billy?
I was hoping that like people would get it at home and just be like, that's funny.
No,
you guys wouldn't get it.
I'm not on the Jay Alvarez.
I don't even know who it is. It's
coconut oil.
It's at least like two full bottles full of coconut oil.
I was doing work late last night. And then, like, coconut oil
Billy,
was
we
trending.
Were playing Warzone until 1:30.
No, but then I realized,
told you I had to go to sleep.
I had something else to do after I got off. I was like, oh, shit, I have this due tomorrow. So I was up doing that. And then at, like, 3 a.m., coconut oil was trending. I was like, why is this trending? And that was why. But I was going to do aliens.
Unreal. All right, go quick, Jake.
Hot seat suits because NBA coaches are no longer required this year.
Oh,
they're keeping
fuck
that.
Yes. George Karl didn't last long enough.
They said no track pants though. So
yes,
they can't go full
and
huggy bear
required.
Really.
Yeah.
We're gonna get a coach in jeans. That's gonna look weird. Steve Nash can be jeans
Steve
and a
Nash,
polo guy.
Like, I think Steve Nash is gonna be almost acid wash colored jeans. Like,
yeah,
way too light.
I like
Steve
this
Kerr
though.
Too. The Steves are gonna be just rocking their Levi's 501s.
Yes.
Cool.
Is Coach K wearing a suit tonight?
No.
Okay.
No, college coaches aren't. Cool Throne, second chances. He's back.
Who?
Tom Brenneman.
Yep.
What?
The Roberto Clemente League in Puerto Rico has hired Tom Brenneman. He obviously said terrible things.
So now you can swear.
For the record,
now
you can swear. I don't hate him for the things he said. I hate him because he hated the Cubs.
Okay, fair. But yes, he said terrible things. He's getting a second chance.
So who's
so now you can swear?
Puerto Rico. He's
Puerto Rico, the Roberto Clemente League.
Roberto Clemente.
Wow, he's literally going to the minors.
Roberto Clemente would be extremely
happy
to learn that his name was being lent to
Tom Brenneman.
And I've seen all these people tagging me again of recent videos of me cursing. Yes, I've done it before, but this was a wake-up call, so I have not done
it
since.
But now it's like a call.
No matter what, you're okay. Actually... You kind of want to get back in the play-by-play game. Maybe that's what you need to do. Say a slur and go to the Roberto Clemente League.
Yeah,
but buzz out there.
Think about it. He was in the major leagues. Now he's in the Roberto Clemente League. I don't want to be demoted from this podcast.
What's your, no, you'd be demoted to the Puerto Rican League. Like, that's where we sent Billy is close. Billy's like one mistake away from going to the Puerto Rican.
Go to Puerto Rican.
That'd be great if just everyone went to the Puerto Rican
Billy,
League.
Or Jake, what's your favorite slur?
Yeah.
Like, favorite as in top the one three that you least like to say.
Yeah.
They're all bad.
They're all bad. But which all one's the worst? If you had to say,
some of them aren't as bad as
Billy. Stop me to say a Jewish one.
Well, we can get away with it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Good job, you Billy. Say it, Billy. No. Give him permission. Give him permission, Jake. No. Give him permission. If I give you permission, Billy. Wants.
If you could sum up the part of my take crew in like one a single panel cartoon, it would be Billy whispering into Jake's ears, telling him which racial slur.
But do this one.
That is not true. I'm a very open-minded person. I would play around with this. You're right. I've never heard Billy issue any sort of racial slur.
At anyone.
That's
in general, he says it out loud.
No, that's like, this isn't a joke.
Yeah, this isn't a joke. You don't want to get canceled. Right. No.
But Tom gave you guys some content for the side of the cereal box that I'm not on.
That's true. You're not mad about it.
Wow.
All right, let's get to Russell Wilson.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
And now, Russell Wilson.
Okay, we now welcome on a man who needs no introduction, but we'll introduce him anyway. It is the greatest quarterback of all time to never receive a single MVP vote. Super Bowl winner, Russell Wilson.
Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited. He has a podcast. It is called Danger Talk. It is actually new episodes out today. We're going to run this tomorrow. It's Wednesdays. They come out. He has Dwayne Wade on the show, not to brag. Let's start there, Russ. Do you think it's a little unfair that you decided to start doing podcasts? Because we don't show up to the football field on Sunday trying to throw touchdowns. You're kind of encroaching on our space here.
I'm not encroaching. I'm just going to take it over, man. I'm just going to take it over completely. Part of my take, but I'm going to, but no, it's been fun, man. It's been fun to be able to do the podcast. And we've had some amazing guests on Danger Talk. It's been pretty cool. And just throughout the season, I think to be able to talk about legacy, to talk about how people come through things and how they overcome. You know, we had Shaq on the first episode talking about, you know, his career and his, you know, relationship, obviously, with Kobe and different things. We had John David Washington, the famous actor, Denzel Washington's son, and how he played in the NFL. We've had a lot of amazing amazing guests along the way. Candace Parker came on. We've had Chris Paul. We've had Joe Montana was amazing, talking about his relationship with Jerry Rice and kind of comparing that, me and DK Metcalf and that relationship. And we've had a lot of amazing other people too as well. We had Mike Tyson right the week before his fight. And obviously this week we're having Dwayne Wade, and I'm excited about Dwayne because he's one of my favorite athletes. Obviously we're number three, both of us.
Yeah.
So it's been a blast to talk about that, and I'm actually about to do that right after this.
Love it. So go download it right now, Danger Talk.
Do you have any questions for us? I know you want to take over our jobs one day, but as you're on the up and coming list, maybe we can mentor you a little bit now that you're new to the game. You have any tips, any things that you want to learn about the podcast game? Do you do your own ad reads?
Yeah, I do my own ad reads. I do all that. For me, the biggest question I would have, man, is just the consistency that you guys do it at. I think that's key, you know, in the podcast space, just like anything, to be successful, you have to have consistency. So for me in particular, I've been doing it every week, you know, once a week. Obviously, I got a day job, that I got to do. So, you know, I spend a good 2 hours. But I think what has made y'all's podcast so successful, because I think that's the kind of success that everybody wants to have in anything you do.
I'd say the success of our podcast is based on being just a little bit smarter than people think, but a lot dumber than what we should be. Like, we both should be a lot smarter than we are, but we're not. We're very, very dumb at the core, but we're also just a tiny bit smarter than people let on, so we can surprise everyone every now and then.
I'd also say that having a strained relationship with DK Metcalf on this side of the table has really been a boost to our ratings recently. I know that maybe your relationship is too good with him. Maybe that's why you're back there in what
I think was it eighth or ninth when it debuted? That's pretty good. That's top 10.
Yeah,
that's not bad. Not elite.
Well, listen. I think first of all, I'm a little jealous. I think I need a new nickname. I mean, I don't know. Mr. Unlimited's pretty good, but I'm not sure if I can rival Big Cat over there. And I think the other thing is that, you know, you get that long hair. You know, maybe I need to wear some cool glasses and roll. I think that's where me and DK got to make sure we step up our game.
Do you watch the Mr. Unlimited video and cringe?
No, I laugh, actually, the fact that I did that. But it's a whole inside joke, you know. It's a whole inside joke. And
explain it. You got to explain it, because we watch it and we're like, whoa, what's going on here, Russ? What's going on? So explain it for the people.
I think Mr. Unlimited comes from this idea that, you know, you have to, you know, in the midst of season, in the midst of life, you have to be able to, one, first of all, have fun and joke around. But I think also, too, you kind of got to have this killer instinct, you know, no matter what you do, you know, you kind of got to have this other side of you. This is kind of the other side of me, you know, Mr. Unlimited, just that mentality, you know, that anything's possible, that, you know, I feel like I can do anything and overcome anything. And so that's where Mr. Unlimited comes from. It comes from this idea that, you know, no matter what it looks like, no matter what anybody says, you know, you can't waver, you know. And I think even right now, you know, it's we're battling, we're fighting for the playoffs and everything else, and the mentality that you can overcome anything and be ready to roll. And each week, you know, you gotta be unlimited.
That's right. Unlimited. Yeah, Mr.
See,
Unlimited.
I love Mr. Unlimited. I think anybody that laughs at Mr. Unlimited, they're just telling on themselves for not being unlimited.
They're limited.
I'm unlimited.
Yeah, they're limiting
themselves.
And all
the haters are limiting themselves by saying they're not unlimited.
Yeah.
So kudos to you for that.
Do you remember the first time that you, maybe in the NFL, where you're like, ooh, I can do this. Like, this, I belong here. Maybe when Mr. Unlimited first, like, showed up, if it was a game or specific situation. Because I actually think I know the moment, but I want to hear what you think.
There's two moments. I think, you know, first of all, I've always felt like, you know, I could play and just get an opportunity. You know, I think obviously everybody said I was too short, too small, couldn't play. But I think getting the opportunity, obviously, you know, and starting right away from my first game. And I remember taking a rib shot from Dockett in my first game against Arizona Cardinals. I was like, dang. And he goes, welcome to the NFL, playboy. You know, so that was on 4th and 14. And we got a first down to my man, Charlie Martin. But, you know, The first time that I really realized, okay, you know what, I'm ready, it was the New England Patriots game. We played at home against obviously Tom Brady and their team, and they were really good then. And you know, we came from behind. I think we were down, I don't know, 13 or 12 points or something like that. And I ended up hitting Sidney Rice for a game-winning touchdown. He ran a beautiful route. And that was a big game for my career. And then the other moment that was really huge was going against the Chicago Bears.
There it is.
You know, in Chicago, Soldier Overtime. Field, which I love Soldier Field because I actually played at Wisco.
I was at that
played
game
there once before.
Illinois. Northern Illinois fan threw a full beer at my back after you put like a 50 burger on him. That game, well, though, that was the end of Brian Urlacher's career, because I remember in that overtime you were running around in the pocket, and I was like, oh, fuck. Urlacher looks a lot slower than I've ever seen him. And it was mostly because you looked faster, but that game I was like, yep, Russ is like, it's crazy that he lasted the third round. He's going to be good for a very long time.
Yeah, that was a big game because we went, you know, we were balls on the 1 yard line, 2 yard line. I think we went 98, 99 yards, something like that, to take it into overtime. And then we got the ball back and we just took us right down the field. And that was a, you know, that defense was arguably the best, you know, one of the best defenses in football, top three defense in football at the time. And they were on a hot streak, you know, winning all these games and stuff. And so that moment, and I remember that play. Urlacher still brings it up to this day. Anytime he sees me, he's like, you ended my career, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it was.
I realized I was getting too old. But, you know, I think that was a big moment, just going to that hostile environment. I mean, I miss those environments, man, just the fans, everybody being there. But, so that was a key moment for me.
Yeah, it's got to be a big difference, especially in Seattle, not having the crowd around. The 12s, you know, scream at the top of their lungs. You get Michelle Tafoya down on the field like she can't hear what Al Michaels is saying up in the booth. Like, we miss that at home, too. Is there, like, one particular fan that you just can't wait to see? Like the Seahawk? Do you miss the Seahawk?
Yeah, Blitz, you mean? Yeah, I think the thing that I miss the group of fans, I miss the fans in the Hawk's Nest.
Yeah.
That's probably the fans that are probably the rowdiest, the craziest. They're at the one end in the end zone. And it's always interesting watching other teams, other quarterbacks get terrified when they're going into that side of the field. You know, it's like, they can't hear anything. And it's a really, really special end of the field where we've made so many key plays over our careers.
Yeah, do you realize, as a Seattle Seahawk and playing in every Seahawk game, how crazy your games are and how little they make sense? Because to us at home, there's nothing like a Seahawks game. You guys basically play a different sport. But for you, I would have to assume that it's just that's just normal. That's how every game is. It's like, you know, there's going to be two safeties. It's going to go to overtime and maybe one or two kicks off the upright.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get stressed out by the Seahawks games. I think every game seems to stress out a Seahawks fan. We usually come out on top, though. We usually find a way to win them all. And, you know, unfortunately, we had a chance last week. We didn't get to win that one. But I think, you know, I think the key is just, you know, for me personally, you know, I always try to stay neutral. You know, I have a company called Limitless Minds, actually, and going back to I'm Mr. Unlimited, of course, but you know, it's one of those things that you got to stay neutral. Can't get too high, too low. You know, there's a lot, they have good players too on the other end. They have good teams and good, so you gotta remain calm, you know, and in the midst of the games, you know, you gotta be able to win the close games, the crazy matchups. And we've had a lot of those this year. We had a lot last year. And to be able to find a way, you know, I think that's just kind of where I feel like I'm best when we can find a way at the end.
Do you ever surprise yourself though? Because I'm personally surprised when I think there's a few quarterbacks in the league, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, yourself, Brady in his prime, where it was like when you're down late, it's not even a question. It's like, oh, okay, like that Vikings game this year. It's like, well, yeah, Russell Wilson's going to take him down the field and they're going to score a touchdown. Do you feel that? You're like, it doesn't matter how much time, I got this.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the key is making sure the other team knows it too.
Yeah, you know, I think they do.
I think that's when you know you got something, you got a little, you know, I don't know. I think you got to have a clutch gene.
Yes.
You
know, I think yes.
You got to have this clutch gene. You got to have that DNA where it runs through your veins and it runs through your team and it runs through the emotion of the game, and you know, it runs through the other team's mind too as well. You know, I think that's, you strike fear in another team when they know, okay, the game's on the line. You know, 9 times out of 10, this may not work out for us if I'm the other team. That's what they're thinking, I feel like, and that's what you want. That's what you want to be able to, you know, it's like Michael Jordan or a certain Derek Jeter comes up to the plate, you know, and you know, there's this, you know, the guy on second base, you feel like he's always going to knock him in. I feel like that, you know, every time I walk up to the plate, I feel like that every time I walk up to the field, I feel like, you know, even, you know, every time there's a chance, and that's a good feeling to have and to know, you know, that, and there's history behind it. It's not just hoping and wishing. I mean, I think there's a lot of history behind that. And so, you know, I think that you want to continue that. You want to continue to have that vision, that continue to have that feeling. And that goes to the thought process throughout the game.
That's got to be an awesome feeling. Now, you are a very humble guy. You're a gracious winner. But is there ever a time in the back of your head when you, like, you know, dagger a team late and you get off the field and Michelle Tafoya comes up and you're saying, you know, God is great and my teammates and all this. Do you ever want to be like, I'm just fucking better than everyone? Like, that's what I would do every now and then, just drop it.
I'd at least think,
listen,
it.
Like I know that God is great. I know that my teammates are great. But let's be honest. I won this game because I'm fucking awesome.
No, I think, man, this game is the greatest team sport there is. You know, I was telling somebody that the other day. And, you know, you can be as good and great as you want to be, but it's a collective effort, right? I mean, I think, you know, basketball, you can have other great players around you. But at the end of the day, you get the ball. You get to shoot one-on-one against somebody. And in baseball, you know, you walk up to the plate against that pitcher and he throws you that fastball and you hit it out. I mean, that's you. That's you recognizing it a lot of the times. And tennis and golf but football, man, you're in the huddle with 10 other guys, and it takes everybody, and it takes everybody to do it. And I think that's what I love about this game is that we all put the preparation and we all put the work in. And when we win, it's because of everybody, you know, together. And when we lose, I always feel like it's on me to make sure I find a way to win. And I think that's just kind of the mentality you got to have at this position, at this game, and to do it for a long time, you know, with success.
All right, but you're fucking awesome. You just humble answered me. You just did the same thing.
I heard you say something earlier when you were talking about, like, the look that your opponent gets when they know that you're about to do something to them. I think you are a humble guy. I think sometimes it's beneficial for you also to put out the image of being super humble after a game, because you don't want to give another team bulletin board material, right? You don't want to say anything bad about anybody in the NFL. Everyone's trying real hard. But I can tell with you, like, there's something about you where you enjoy putting other people in an uncomfortable situation where they know that you're about to do something to them.
I think this game is, it's not about bulletin material in terms of the, you know, in terms of just, you know, why you give other people praise or why you talk about, you know, why people have, I think it's just truth. You know, I think, you know, there's some great players in this league and great opponents I have to go up against every week. And, you know, this game is the hardest, this is the hardest game to win consistently yet, because it's so many factors, right? There's so many things. And, you know, we've been fortunate to win a lot, you know, for the Seahawks over the years. I think the thing for me, though, is as you kind of mentioned, and I think that's really important, you know, it's to know that, you know, there's a marriage, there's a feeling, there's a connection between your mentality, number one, your team's mentality, you know, and confidence as a whole, and then also the fear that you establish for other teams. And I think that at the end of the day, you know, I always tell myself that they already know what's going to happen. They already know what's going to happen. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. But dang, man, sure enough, I feel like, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to go that way, and in a positive way. So that's from experience, but it's also from just belief.
All right, we're going to get back to Russell Wilson in a second.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, back to Russell Wilson.
Going into the Super Bowl against the Broncos, one of the all-time butt whoopings in the Super Bowl. I bet on the Broncos
yeah,
too. Yeah,
I had a Super Bowl
tough.
Party. Bet on the Broncos. Thank you. We all did.
Thank you for actually putting us out of our misery early, so we didn't have to stick around.
How could they ever stop this Broncos offense?
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
So good.
Peyton Manning, the greatest of all time. Going into that game, how did you know that it's going to be a bloodbath, that you're just going to smoke them, or was it, you know, in the locker room? Was it kind of up in the air?
Well, we felt like we were prepared. Our defense was unbelievable. You know, our defense was unbelievable. I thought offensively we were playing, you know, really well, and we were connecting, you know, and just we felt like we had the best preparation. And honestly, sometimes it's better when you don't even know what it's like, you know, meaning as a collective team, we hadn't been to the Super Bowl. I think there's only maybe one or two coaches that ever been to a Super Bowl and ever played in one or been in one, or the rest of the guys, though, we had never been to one. I the year before, I went to go watch. It was the 49ers, you know, versus the Ravens, and I went to go watch that game. And I did, you know, I think it was CBS who did that game or somebody who, and I, you know, got to do the pregame show and all that. But I was sitting there, and I wanted to get there, you know, the 3 hours before the game, as if I was playing it, to see how guys warmed up, to see what the minutes were like in between at halftime. Obviously, that halftime that in New Orleans got shut down, and it was even an hour-long halftime, and it was the whole process. And so I was preparing beforehand, and I think going into the Super Bowl, we felt like we could, you know, we could get there that year, and obviously we did. And but we felt like we were ready. We knew that we were ready. We knew that when we walked off the bus, it was time for our defense to dominate. It was time for our offense to go make our plays and do our thing. And we got Marshawn Lynch in the backfield, and we got guys making plays all over the field. I remember Percy Harvin returning that kickoff return too as well, when we were really separating the game, and Jermaine Kearse made his plays, and it was just a great game. You know, we really made some really special, Doug Baldwin made some sweet plays as well. So it was one of those nights. And I remember that moon sitting up there. It was supposed to snow that night. It didn't snow at all. The next morning around 6 a.m., it snowed like crazy in New York. But that night, I remember just that process of the coin toss and the feeling. And it was a good night for sure.
All right, so bad memory time. We're good friends with Luke Wilson, who was on that Seahawks team that lost in the Super Bowl. He described the locker room afterwards. Now, you're a positive guy. You're a positive energy guy. Did you even allow yourself to be negative for a minute and be like, you know, maybe kick a trash can, throw out a swear word? Or were you like, we'll get him next year?
I think in that moment, I was, you get heartbroken, you know, because the whole year we just won a Super Bowl. We go back to the Super Bowl. We win all these games and get there to the end. And, you know, we were up in that game with, I don't know, 6 minutes to go. We felt like we were going to win the game. Some guys got injured, and everything else along the way on defense. And they end up coming back. You know, they made some key plays. And then we get the ball with 2:01. We march down the field. Marshawn, I kind of give a double move to Marshawn. He catches the ball. He goes all the way down the field. We get down the field again. Jermaine makes that crazy catch. Then we try to run the ball in. And then, obviously, they make their play. And in that moment, you get pretty heartbroken because you've spent all this time, all year, all season, you know, to win it all. And unfortunately, it didn't work. And so for me, you know, there was no other option except for to think about the moment in that process. Think about, dang, like how could that happen in that moment? And then you have to do the press conference right after, which is a terrible thing to have to do. But you got to go do that and face the world and talk about that, you know, what happened. And you know that's the weight of playing quarterback. That's the good thing about playing quarterback, but that's also the weight of it. Is you got to carry everything on your shoulders, and you know, I think you got to carry the conversation, you got to carry the pain, you got to deal with it. And much is given, much is required. And I think that's what I've understood at a young age. I think that's what I understood early on when we won a Super Bowl and got to hold up the trophy, and also when we didn't win it. And this whole my whole career. And to be honest with you, you got to make a decision on what you're going to do. For me, I had to make a decision right there in that moment. Am I going to let this destroy, ruin, mess up my career, or am I going to make a change? And that's where really, you know, the mindset part of everything and how my mindset was, and that's why I created Limitless Minds with my brother and Trevor Moad and DJ, is that because the mindset of being neutral, the mindset of overcoming, the mindset of coming through, the mindset of I'm not going to let one play define my career was, to be honest with you, changed my career. Mm-hmm. I think it changed my career for the better in terms of how I overcome obstacles, how I come through situations, how I get ready and be fully prepared. And I think, you know, that was a critical moment, and I think that's where that alter ego kind of comes up, you know, it's a little bit is, yeah. You gotta be a little bit unlimited when everybody else is telling you you're not this, you're not that.
Yes,
you know, that's okay. I'm gonna prove you wrong. And so, you know, I think that's kind of been, I don't know if I want to say the chip on my shoulder, but I think that's been, you know, over the past 6 years or so of my career, that's been my drive every day to know that, you know, every day I go about my business, every day I go about this opportunity, you know, is another great opportunity to show up and to show people why.
I appreciate that because I do think you're genuine about it, and you know, having that drive, you, I would have just quit and felt bad for myself and complained about it for the rest of my life.
And that's a real option. I mean, people
yeah, no,
can do
I take
that.
It all can, the time. All
it's a
the
real,
time.
That's a real option, and it can really mess people up. I think players up, and I think it can affect players when you know get to the championship and it doesn't go your way. You know, it's real. It can really mess you up. But I wasn't going to let it affect my mindset. I wasn't going to let it affect my career. I was actually going to use it to catapult my career.
So with all that said, though, be honest. How many times, just randomly, in let's say a given year, does it just pop in your head and you're like, damn, we should have run? Just you don't have to say
now.
Yeah, well, no, it's not holding you back. You're Mr. Unlimited, but honest, like, just that, you know, maybe just driving down the highway randomly in the middle of August, and it's just like, boop, pops in your head, because that happens to everyone. How many times?
It doesn't really pop in my head,
come
honestly,
on,
anymore.
Come on, Ross.
I think the first year it pops in your head almost every day, but I think, you know, now.
Yeah,
you know, for once me, I've trained my brain every day to know and to know that, man, stuff's gonna happen, man. It's a tough journey, and the role that I gotta play, the position I gotta play, there's gonna be stuff that happens along the way. So, I don't think about it. I know the only time I think about it is when somebody either asks me, mm-hmm. You know, when you watch the Super Bowl, you know, they'll show a clip and like, yeah. All right, thanks, I get it. You know,
yeah, okay, yeah, all right. So you do have a great mind.
But also have images, you know, around my house, around my office, and stuff like that, where I'm holding the trophy. That's the image that pops in my head.
Uh huh.
Okay.
That image, And so that image reigns way more true than the other one.
So given your background, what you've been through, did you pull DK aside after he fumbled the ball at the one and you were like, hey, man, we all screw up inside the 2 yard line sometimes. It gets better.
You know, DK is a guy, man, who never wants to mess up. He always wants to do his best thing. He always wants to make a play for us. And he always does. And so, you know, I think, you know, he's in the second year that play, you know, just, you know, that, we both said it never again, you know, that one won't ever happen again, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, for me, that it's part of the process, man. I think sometimes, you know, you have to have these lessons so you can learn.
Yeah. Did you play any other sports growing up?
Yeah, I played basketball. I played baseball. You know, I was a multi-sport guy. You know, I think my basketball game, you know, I was I thought I was Steph Curry back in the day, but I really wasn't. I was more like I played more defense and I was a good passer, though. You want a no-look pass? I'm giving it to you. You know, I give you that no-look pass. Full court bounce pass, one skip and a dunk. But
I believe that.
Yeah, but my shooting game, I was below average. Let me tell you this. My sister, she came out my second year in the NFL, the year we won the Super Bowl, and she came out and she was, I don't know, probably like 14 years old. And just to give a little background now, she was a McDonald's All-American. She's plays on the number one team in the country at Stanford, the number one team in the country right now, girls basketball team. And so she can play. And I'll just give you a little background. But so anyways, she comes out here. We go to the local gym at the Bellevue Club, and everybody's watching us. And we're just shooting around. But then now everybody comes in. We're playing one-on-one pickup. This is right before Christmas. And if she don't – she beats me. She breaks me down so bad. She beats me. And then rubs it in, talking all this trash in front of me. I felt like I was playing against Gary Payton or something. And she's doing all this trash talking and everything else. So – you know, I haven't played her since.
Yeah, so, no, definitely stay away from that.
So we do know that you're a baseball player. It's only brought up like it's that, and then the Super Bowl play that gets put on TV every single time that we watch you when you're out there on Sunday. But obviously, you're a baseball player. I have to ask, who's a better baseball player, you or Tim Tebow?
Ooh,
good question. I'm gonna go with me.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with me. I can turn a mean double play, Tim. I don't know though. I mean, I haven't seen him play though. But you know, I think that if I played, you know, if I really had focused on baseball, you know, out of high school, I was gonna be a top pick out of high school, you know, and then I had to end up turning it down. I still got drafted late, but I always feel like baseball is actually my best sport.
Really?
You know, and then I went to college.
Hold on.
He would have won an MVP in baseball.
Hold on, This is always the cop out that professional athletes
this out.
I'm
know,
one
I'm
of the best
you,
quarterbacks
man.
Ever, but my real good sport was baseball.
Well, let me tell you why. So when I was in high school, I was a top player in the country, one of the top players in the country, and everything else. I went to area code games, the East Coast game, and all that. And one of my actually roommates, teammates, was actually Madison Bumgarner. So we played in the same team and stuff like that. You know, at one point, but you know, baseball was actually my love. I played that since I was young. That was probably the sport that was probably one of my best sports. And I, you know, for me, what happened was that I ended up going to NC State. I get there, you know, and football is so demanding. You know, you do it every day. I had to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I had to go to you know, football practice in the spring, go to train, then go to classes, then come back to baseball. So I never really got to fully blossom fully in my baseball career. But when I was younger, I felt like, you know, out of high school and stuff, that baseball was actually my best sport. You know, I felt like I could play football, but I guess God had different plans for me. And now I get to spin the rock and throw a deep go ball. Sorry, guy, DK Mecca.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Your deep ball is something because we talk about it on the show all the time. With DK, it looks a little bit different. I feel like you like to drop back and you throw that sky ball, the one that comes down with like a little bit of rain still on it.
Dropping a bucket.
And whether it's Doug Baldwin, one of the Locketts, you know, you have all these receivers that are really good at catching those types of passes. Has there been a guy that you've worked with where you throw your standard Russell Wilson deep ball that just can't get the hang of having the ball come down from basically straight up in the air?
You know, I think most guys can catch it pretty good. You know, DK is pretty phenomenal. Tyler Lockett's probably one of the best trackers of the ball. He's kind of, I always tell him he's like Kenny Lofton. You know, Kenny Lofton, the baseball player, he could track anything. You know, DK's got that Ken Griffey Jr., you know, unbelievable ability to go track a ball too as well, you know. So those two guys are really special. I think the biggest thing though is that, you know, when the ball's in the air, do guys panic or not? You know, and I think that I try to put it, you know, in the movie Sandlot, where you just put your hand up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think about just, hey, put your hand up. Let me throw it to your hand. And only where you can catch it down the field. And so I think the biggest thing that you'll notice in practice is, or, you know, early in the training camps and all that, is who's really great at tracking the ball. You know, and those guys are, you know, probably some of the best, you know, guys who've ever been able to track the deep ball and make plays.
That's got to be a pretty cool moment to, like, when you release one of those deep balls, do you catch yourself just watching the ball being like, this is almost your zen, you know, place? If you're not getting hit, but you're watching the ball and then they catch it and score a touchdown, that's got to be like you're sitting back like, oh, my God, I'm that good. I would do that all the time.
Well, one of my favorite moments in football, it's like kind of like hitting a home run. When you hit a home run, you don't even feel it on the bat. The ball just – you just know it's out. Well, on a deep ball – and we don't get to experience this year because there's no crowd, but one of my favorite things when you're playing on the road and everybody's booing you, everybody's screaming, and the whole crowd noise and all that stuff's going on, and then you got a guy going down the sideline, you launch this 60-yard, you know, deep go ball, and the whole crowd goes,
yeah.
And there's this pause and moment in time where the ball's spinning down in the air, and it's, boom, he catches it. And you can hear the ball hit the guy's hands and say, boom. You know, and he catches it, the transition scores. That's like one of the greatest feelings. But all I want to know is, PFT, if you can catch a deep ball. I mean, I think you got to come out to one of these off-season workouts, you two guys.
Yeah, I'm faster
Cat
than
PFT.
No, guard DK.
I'm faster than DK.
You think you're faster than DK? Yeah.
I know I'm faster.
We beat him in a race.
We raced in this hallway right outside here. We got the video and everything. I'm faster than him.
I'm going to have to tag DK in this whole podcast because I'm talking shit now.
I'm going to have to – well, I benched more than him. Until I got my shoulder injured, but I could probably get back up there. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be glad to come out there and put the clamps on him. I don't think he'd get around me.
No chance.
Big Cat, you think you can throw it further than me?
No, I'm actually, if you invite us out to camp, I'm literally going to spend the entire time looking for Pete Carroll's twin. So, he has a twin, right? Have you seen his twin brother?
Yeah, he does kind of look like him.
Okay, thank you. And then the plot thickens. I've been looking for Pete Carroll's twin for a long time. I feel like he's got a twin, and he's kept it under wraps.
He's got a brother that does
looks
kind of
like looks
like an older version of Pete.
Like a twin,
Russ,
exactly.
This is what you need to take to heart when you're trying to figure out how to build your podcast up. Just invent something, and then just never let go of it. Like Big Cat's convinced.
That wasn't a no, by the way. Just
Pete
so
Carroll's
everyone knows,
you don't think I did invent something though. I created Mr. Unlimited.
Which is true. Well, no, that's a mindset. That wasn't a no.
That was not a no. You're like, you giggled and you're like, yeah, you know what? He does look a lot like him. He says he's older, but. Haven't seen a birth certificate. Interesting.
He actually does have, I think it's his brother.
Yeah.
That looks pretty identical.
Exactly like him.
Older version of Pete.
Yes, like a twin.
All right, final question brought to you by Cross Country Mortgage, America's Crazy Good Mortgage Company. Go to ccmlens.com/take to learn more about your future home buying experience or refinancing needs, equal housing opportunity.
All right, I know I talked about bad moments, so you don't think about them, but I do. The Rose Bowl, okay? The Rose Bowl. So I was, you know, remember in Crossroads, Bone Thugs and Harmony, the video where, like, the soul leaves the body? I had the reverse. There's a piece of my soul is up at the top row of the Rose Bowl after the ball wasn't clocked. It's just there. It's there forever. I was at that game. What happened? You clocked it. Like that, I think we got screwed.
We 100% got screwed.
Okay, thank you.
And the thing is that the ref started whining his arm. We got the ball all the way down there. In college, the clock pauses
right
once you get down the field. So the clock pauses once you get the first down or whatever. So we were all ready. We had a pro offensive line, too. We had, you know, Peter Kahns. We had Travis Frederick. We had all these guys who had played in the league, you know, Ricky Wagner and, you know, all these pro guys who actually still play in the league now. And so we were all ready to roll. We had been through the situation. We were ready to go. Boom, the ball's down there. And there's 2 seconds on the clock. So the clock doesn't start until the ref blows his whistle. So we're all ready. We talk to the ref. Hey, we're gonna clock it. We're going to clock it. Okay, we're all ready to go. And, you know, as soon as he blows, and me and Peter, as soon as he blows the whistle, we're gonna clock it. So he goes, boom, and we clock it. Boom, clock, we clock it. Okay, clock the ball. There's no way 2 seconds around the clock. The problem was, okay, obviously, the ref, who's behind us, starts winding his arm early, boom, and then blows the whistle. So that's what they're seeing up top. So We lose a full second, game over. We felt like we were going to win that game, too. And
totally.
That was a great matchup. That was one of my favorite games of my career, just the back and forth, playing the Rose Bowl. The best thing about the Rose Bowl, when you're sitting there, never forget sitting next to Nick Toon. I just threw him a touchdown in the right corner of the end zone, and me and him are sitting there, and I'm talking to Paul Chris on the headset and talking to Nick, and I'm sitting there, and I said, hey, Nick, you know, Coach Chris, look at the stands. Look at the stands, I said. And they go, yeah, what about it? I said, it's amazing. If you look down the left, look down the right, the goalpost, right down the middle of the goalpost, you split one side of the field, it's all red. The other side of the field, it's all green. It's like, and the sun's just going down, and the golf course, the field feels like a golf course. It feels like a par five, you know, right on the green. And,
yep.
You know, it's just a special moment, special place. And so I'll never forget that game. But one of the coolest parts about that game is actually, you know, after the game, and I do my press conference, and everybody's asking me, how are you going to use this? I said, I'm going to be able to use this one day, and, you know, hopefully I'll be able to win a Super Bowl because of it. And, you know, unfortunately we've been able to win a Super Bowl and all that. But also, too, is, you know, after that press conference, I'll never forget walking down the steps. I still have my cleats on. And at the time, we were an Adidas team, obviously, with Wisconsin. And sure enough, Phil Knight, you know, comes out, you know, right behind, you know, right in front of me. And he goes, oh, man, it's a nice game, Russell. I want to make you a Nike athlete one day.
Oh.
Just want to let you know, you know. And, you know, when you're ready to play in the NFL and everything else, and I think you're going to be one, you know, a Nike athlete, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And that was a cool, like, Phil Knight walking into him, coming around the gate, right before I get on my golf cart. And so that was a special moment for me. I'll never forget, and I was a college kid, and just knowing that, you know, I'd already graduated. That was my last game of my career, and you know, all that, and it's time to go play in the pros.
I'm happy that was a special moment for you. I think I got blackout drunk and had to get, like, a flight back to Chicago at 6 a.m. the next day. So I'm happy that you were happy.
Yeah, he got, like, a $20 million endorsement from Nike.
And I puked a bunch of red wine. I remember there was a
taxi cab.
The beer stand had a huge line, so I switched to wine in the second quarter, and I must have drank, like, 12.
Well, how about this? How about this, Big Cat? How about I get you a signed Wisconsin jersey from me just to make it up to you?
Okay, done. We'll put it up in the studio.
All right,
and then I'll think about the Rose Bowl. I'll think about you not clocking it in time. Actually, you getting screwed every single time I look at it. But yes, let's do it.
Can you sign Russell Wilson, quote, Mr. Unlimited?
Mr. Unlimited.
End quote?
Yeah. I'll, don't worry. That's
part of your
story. That will go up behind me. That will go up behind me. I don't know if you knew this, but we're Mr. Unlimited. We're the number one sports podcast. People will see it. And they'll be like, oh, there's Russ. And you're a Badger for life, not a Wolf Pack, whatever the hell
you
say.
Yeah, do you consider yourself part of, what is it, Wolf Pack?
No, he says pack, whole pack of Badgers.
It's the cradle of quarterbacks. You've got Philip Rivers, Mike Glennon. Everybody went to NC State.
Yeah, there's some good quarterbacks out of NC State. And also Jacoby Brissett went there, too.
Yeah, yep.
So there's some good quarterbacks for sure. And obviously Phil is one of the best to ever play this game. You know, for me, you know, he wore 17. It was funny because when I was in college, when I was in high school and I committed to NC State, I never forget going to a game and they had Roman Gabriel's number retired, you know, up there on the rafters or whatever, and they had Philip Rivers. And I told my dad, this is right before he got really sick. I'll never forget, I was in a Dick's Sporting Goods at the time in Richmond, Virginia, and I told my dad, I said, hey, Dad, I'm gonna have my number, you know, retired there one day. And I got the number 16 and all that, and so I was wearing that number. But I never forget, I wanted that number to be special, 16, because 16, 17, 18. And, so it was a pretty cool time. And I think, you know, the thing for me, though, is that, you know, one of the best things about NC State for me was, you know, I didn't know my dad was going to get sick. My dad got terribly sick. He had to get his leg amputated. He had diabetes, and it was a heavy thing. My dad used to always say to me, son, you know, why not you? Why not you? Why not you become this? Why not you become that? And that was why we created our Why Not You Foundation, because it was that driving force behind everything in my life, to be honest with you. So my dad gets really sick, gets his leg amputated, suffers a stroke, goes into a coma. They said he's not going to live for another, you know, not going to live at all, you know, after, you know, 12 or 18 or more hours left to live. And my mom, you know, calls me crying. She says, I don't believe it. I got all this tons of faith. And sure enough, she calls me about an hour and a half later, and she says, you wouldn't believe it. He moved. He woke up out of it. I started praying and started singing him a song. And next thing you know, he wakes up right in front of the doctors. And even though the doctor, when he woke up, the doctor said he would never be able to see a game. He'd never be able to see anything again. He'd never be able to talk again. Well, if God isn't so amazing, he was able to walk. He was able to come see a game. He was able to come see my games. And if I wasn't at NC State, he wouldn't have been able to see that. So I was placed there for a reason, you know, in that time period. And every Thursday night, I would drive, not every Thursday night, but a lot of the Thursday nights, I would drive up from NC State to Richmond, Virginia, which is about 2.5 hour drive. So I could go see my dad. And I had an opportunity to go to Florida State, actually. Jimbo Fisher actually called me during the whole transition of everything. And I was a good baseball player, too. And so I was going to be able to play two sports there, potentially. And Chuck Amato had just went to Florida State as well. And so that's where that opportunity. But I ended up sticking there. And it was one of the best times of my life, obviously, being at NC State. But also, it kept me close to my dad. And then once my dad passed away, I never forget this little quiet whisper in my ear. My daddy, when I was young, he'd say, "Yeah, son." And I'd be sitting there. I'd be 9, 10 years old. He'd be like, "You know, son, you got to go to the school, Wisconsin." And I'm like, I don't even know where Wisconsin's on the map. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. I'm just looking. I'm like, where's Wisconsin? I'm not going there, you know. And he said, "Oh, there's this great coach there. This guy, Barry Alvarez, the Hall of Fame coach. You gotta play for Barry Alvarez one day." Well, dang sure if I didn't know enough, Brett Bielema calls me during my whole transition of, you know, pro baseball in college. And he says, "Hey, I want you to come up here," and all that stuff. And I get to, you know, and I start thinking about my dad. And I go there to that campus. It was June 9th, 2010. June 9th, 2011. My dad passed away June 9th, 2010. June 9th, 2011, I go to Wisco. I get there. And sure enough, I don't meet Barry Alvarez. And that's when I knew. I was like, this is a year later after my dad passed away. I said, this is where I'm supposed to play.
That's awesome.
It's a crazy story. So, and the thing is, I drove a U-Haul 16 and a half hours from where I was all the way up to Madison, Wisconsin. I pull up to park at Camp Randall, and the street I pull up on, there's a street called Breeze Street, spelled B-R-E-E-S, Breeze Street. And I'm like, once again, it's another sign, because Drew Brees is one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time and guy that I really admired and watched play a lot in college. And I'm like, okay, all right, well, here I go. And pulled into Camp Randall, and I started throwing deep balls to Nick Toon that day.
That's awesome.
Love it.
You got to wrap, because you have to do your podcast. But I got to say, we're cynical guys. You're a positive guy. It's fun talking to a positive guy. We didn't even get to nanobubbles, too. Are we still in on nanobubbles?
Hey, you know, there's maybe some. Who knows?
Well, okay. All right.
Here's a testimonial.
Sounds like we're still in.
Here's a testimonial. I broke my foot like 4 years ago. I drank nanobubbles. There's a picture of me drinking the nanobubbles with a swollen foot. 3 weeks later, when I had surgery on it, it was one of the worst cases of a broken foot the doctor had ever seen.
Yes.
He cuts into my foot, and he's like, "It's fixed."
Nothing
there. Was nothing to fix in my foot. After I drank nanobubbles.
4 years after that, he beats DK Metcalf in a foot race.
Sounds like you're unlimited.
I'm unlimited.
Yes.
I'm not sure about that race.
Yeah.
The hair is unlimited.
No, it happened. It's
legit.
Documented.
You can look it up online.
Yeah.
I'll put the clamps on DK if you just don't throw any slants on
it. And I'll find that twin brother. All right. So, Russ, thank you so much. Everyone go download Danger Talk. It was awesome talking to you, man. You're too positive for us. We got to go, like, you know, yell at a ref or something. But we appreciate it, man. And I will hold you to that signed jersey. I want that signed jersey.
All right, I got it. It's coming your way. The signed jersey is coming your way. And I'm grateful for you guys, man. Big Cats, it's been a pleasure. On Wisconsin, baby. It's great. And I want to see this race in person. But I'm not sure if you're going to beat DK.
I'll tweet it at you.
Yeah,
it happened.
Like you guys said, you know. Yeah, all right, we'll see. And then, I appreciate you guys. I'm going to take a lot of intel from y'all's podcast and use it on mine. Danger Talk is growing. It's been a lot of fun. We got Dwayne Wade today, so I gotta go talk to Flash real fast.
Yeah,
you guys check me out on my podcast too. It's always a blast, man. I always support you guys. I'll always come on anytime.
All right, thanks so much, Russ. That was a mistake. We're gonna hold you to that.
Yeah,
was a mistake. How about next Wednesday?
You said one sentence too
many. Way too much there. All right, we'll see you next
anytime
Wednesday.
Anytime I'm available. Yes. Anytime I'm available.
All right, see you, man.
See you, man.
Thanks.
All right, see you guys. Peace.
That interview with Mr. Unlimited was brought to you by Roman Swipes. If you want to last an unlimited amount of time in bed, use Roman Swipes. That's the best endorsement I can ever give them. You can try saying the Pledge of Allegiance in your head. You can try counting backwards from 10. But Roman Swipes are a proven way to last longer during sex. Roman Swipes are clinically proven. They're effective. They're easy to use. They're fast acting. But they don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging. And each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. You just take the swipes out of the packet, you swipe it on, you let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. That's all you have to do, all you have to worry about, and boom, you're better at sex. Go to GetRoman.com/take. Get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/take.
All right, let's wrap up the show. We got something special before we get to Guys on Chicks. It is FightPaul.com, the newest, greatest website out there. Our friend Billy Football, our intern, our good friend. Yo, look at the fucking sign language guy that De Blasio has. He's kind of metal.
He's outfitting Bill De Blasio. Yeah. He's stealing a shine big time.
He looks like he's got a sick ass band that plays in Williamsburg.
Yeah, or a Dungeons and Dragons League.
All right, Billy, fightpaul.com. Do you want to say anything about it before I start reading slide by slide?
It is basically, for those in the investment banking world, it's a slide deck to hopefully get,
get what?
Acquisition. Actually, you know, why don't you read it? Why don't you read it?
And Billy, well, I want you to read it.
You read it.
Before you read it, why don't you tell us what the end goal? Because my interpretation of Billy Football is that he thinks he's accomplished something when he's made a website for it.
Yep.
So if there's any problem in his life whatsoever, he's like, oh, I'm going to make an app.
I'll make a
website. And then, boom, the problem is solved somehow. So tell me what you want this website to accomplish.
Hopefully this convinces people in high places that it would be extremely profitable for all of us to sort of this sort of event.
Okay, and where'd you get the title, Why Jake Paul Should Fight Me? Where'd that come from?
My brain.
Okay, and it's by Billy.
By Billy.
All right, so here we go. Slide one.
I will say the transitions are the slowest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It's the build and anticipation. That was the point.
It's very hard.
It's literally...
I think they're too fast.
A 5-second transition.
It's like, whoa, what's coming next?
Because both slides are on the screen at the exact same time.
Yeah, by the way, so it's FITEPaul.com.
First slide. Jake Paul is lying about his height. He is listed at 6'1", but is really 5'9". And I put a picture of Jake Paul, who wore a headdress in his face-off with Nate Robinson, to show that he's not actually the same height as Nate Robinson.
But he's taller than Nate Robinson.
Because he has that giant headdress on.
No, his head is clearly taller than Nate Robinson, who is 5'9".
Remember, Nate Robinson is really like 5'6". He was listed at the combine.
No, that's not true.
Anyway, next slide.
Okay. Hold on.
What was he listed at the combine as?
Google, I think he's like 5'7".
He's taking a while.
The next
picture. I'm still not there.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Wait.
No, he's really only 5'9". As you can see in the next slide, I have a picture of him next to Dave Portnoy. And he is basically the same height as Dave Portnoy in his hair.
He's 2 inches taller than Dave, who is 5'10".
No. Right, debate that.
This is all built on the fact that Jake Paul is 5'9".
Anyway, next slide.
Hold on.
Wait.
Hold on.
Okay.
I'm not there.
Like the depth, like he's Jake behind Paul Dave in this picture.
Has only fought taller, super like short guys.
Wait, no, read the slide.
I am tall.
So this is page 3 of you saying that you're taller than Jake
Yes,
Paul.
We're really hammering tall. The point.
It's like Josh Allen 2.0.
And if he fought
but not a joke.
It would make him look good because he's only fought short people. And also, the last guy he fought who's very short is actually taller than him. So there's a picture of him next to YouTuber KSI, who some of you may know, and he is shorter than KSI, who is listed as 5'9".
Where is YouTuber KSI listed at 5'9"?
Somewhere.
Okay.
FIFA.
Okay. So third slide.
On 6 foot.
Yeah.
They're all lying.
They're at 6 foot.
And he looks like he could be an inch taller than KSI in this picture.
Yeah.
Because KSI is standing really close to the camera.
You know what? Okay, next slide. All right,
got it.
Next slide. Hold on. All right, this one's good. Now we're off the height thing, and we're on to something different.
So why should I fight
Jake Paul? It's a picture of Billy with holding two cocks in his hand. He's got a big throbbing cock in his right.
He's got two cocks and a bitch.
In a left hand, he's got another cock.
One is a hen.
What are these guys' names?
One's Snowman.
So he's got Snowman's
and the other
cock.
One.
Are these their stage names?
No. One is Snowman, and the other one is Brahma.
Brahma.
That's a species.
Yes, I haven't named all the hens because I thought one of them would die.
You named your hens after bulls.
No, that's actually their species. Anyway.
Okay.
I am blessed to have access to the media powerhouse that is Barstool Sports, and pardon my take.
Okay.
But the part of my take part isn't in the deck.
Fighters come to Barstool Sports to use our apparatus to sell fights. We are the apparatus.
Which is not true.
Which equals, fighters?
What,
we can sell
when,
this fight.
Off the when top has this ever happened?
I'm trying to think of a fighter, let alone
I would debate
fighters.
That I am not the only one in this office who could fight Jake Paul because he's really a fraud.
Who else?
But... I figure, I bet Jetski take him and Rudy.
All right, okay.
Just theoretically, you think that they would fight him?
Right. But if we could figure out how this could happen, I would love to be chosen to fight Jake Paul. I legitimately...
This is, wait, time out, time. This is basically a Monday reading, by the way. This is a Billy special. He makes a website to try to fight Jake Paul, and in it, he already is negotiating against himself, where he's like, well, other people could probably fight him, too.
Well, I just don't want to make it about me. I just think this could happen.
Yes, but Billy.
But I just want to be
the guy to fight him. What was the point of including the sentence, I would debate that I am not the only one who could fight
because
Jake
he's
Paul
a
in the
fraud. That's what I've been trying to say
the
whole time.
You're not answering the question. Anyway. Why would you even introduce that to us?
Yes, you now have made me think like, ooh.
Now I actually want Rudy
to see
fight
Willie
him.
Fight
right,
him.
I would love that to happen.
Rudy's arms are way bigger than Billy's, too.
Stop fucking negotiating against yourself.
I legitimately have the least amount of commitments out of the whole company at this moment.
Even though we have given Billy like 17 projects and he hasn't done any of them.
And we deferred my senior spring to the fall to train and have less commitments myself.
That's my favorite part of the entire deck is Billy basically saying, I don't really have anything else to do.
And we literally have given Billy, like, there's a list of things that we want Billy to do right now.
Uh-huh.
And he's not doing
I'm working
them.
On the day
and
hair
just,
presentation.
Like, Vanny Woodhead title. He just openly says, I got nothing. Nothing
also,
going on.
Billy, a little bit of coaching in your writing here. The last two sentences that you have, you started one out by saying, I would debate that, and then you said what you wanted to say. And in this one, you start out by saying, I legitimately have. You can just knock those parts of the phrase out and just say, I have the least amount. Don't say, I legitimately have, because now I'm like, wait, why is he saying legitimately?
I'm putting their brain in a pretzel
is
to get them on
else
their heels,
not legit?
And then I hit them with the facts.
And then we say, I would debate that I'm not. Why are... You're debating against yourself, literally, in that sentence.
Right.
That sentence is you
right.
arguing against yourself.
Well, puts
yourself.
Their brain in a pretzel, they're on their heels, and then, boom, facts.
No,
on the back.
You just say, I am not the only one who could fight Jake Paul. You don't have to say that. You're also addicted to saying the word legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately. And anyways.
All right, so finish this slide, and then we'll go to the next.
I also like to work out and have endured a good amount of head trauma, which make me suitable for boxing.
your brain is already warmed up. Got it. All right, hold on. Hold on. These transitions are so long.
Okay, wait.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, go.
Ideas on how to make money from the fight.
This probably should have been number one if you're pitching to Wall Street.
No, dude. No, dude. I don't know if you know this, but Jake Paul's short. He's short.
There's plenty of ways to make money from this.
All right.
Anyway.
There were 15 minutes in
this
slide.
You buried this, like, after three pictures of Jake Paul standing next to guys who were between 5'9" and 5'11", and then one picture of you holding two chickens.
This is literally prestige worldwide. Investors? Possibly you.
Basically, we promote the sports book. We get a bunch of sponsors, and, you know, you don't really have to pay me like another fighter, and we can give
negotiating
the
against
whole
again.
Money to Jake Paul to get him to actually fight on Rough and Rowdy. And make
Wait,
it.
So he's fighting on Rough and Rowdy?
Yeah. That's where we put the fight.
But you won't fight on Rough and Rowdy, so you're actually ineligible at this fight. You said I will not fight in Rough and Rowdy.
That is not true. You're putting words in my mouth. I would fight in Rough and Rowdy, but right now I only want to fight Jake Paul in Rough and Rowdy.
Okay, all right. Number three.
Well, no, he just went through everything.
Whoa. Oh, you did them all?
What he just
sponsored
did,
workout
he,
videos? Yeah,
he decided not. He skipped over all the points of how this would make money.
Yes.
And gave a basically.
Okay, yeah.
Basically, I would fight him and be sweet and people would watch it.
All right, here's number six. In the scheme of fight purses, you only have to pay Jake Paul real money. So he's, again, Billy is a master at negotiating against himself. You need to read Art of the Deal.
This isn't
Christmas.
About me making money.
This is where the real purse comes
everybody
in.
Money.
This is where the real purse comes in because you can pay Jake the price of two big names. B, I do not need millions. Three, legit don't need any guaranteed money.
I like you switching up to legit there.
Yeah.
You shortened it very informal.
Yeah, I do not need millions. And the next point, legit don't need any guaranteed money. D, but I would like a little money, maybe a percentage of pay-per-view, so that it's incentive-based.
Yeah, which would
that
be
is very fair.
Which would be potentially millions.
No one in the history of presentations has said, I don't need any money.
I legit don't need any money.
Dude, legit, no Stop joke, don't that. Need any money. And then the last point, but maybe a little bit of money.
Just incentive-based money, which I think would mean I earned it.
Okay, yeah. Next.
But no money.
Next. This is just such a funny fucking...
Hang on, it's going to take a while to get there. There's a lot of words.
Oh, this one's good. All right, go ahead, Billy, take it away.
I could piss Jake Paul off so bad. Yeah. The fight would sell itself.
Uh-huh.
I would talk shit on every podcast.
This is where I wanted to talk to you about. You're now using R. What PFT, Hank, Liam, and I built to now, as this is just free advertising.
100%.
So part of my take is now becoming a talk shit to Jake Paul podcast.
Yes, I would replace my Animal Fact with new way to diss Jake Paul.
Very, very...
and Animal Fact.
Presumptuous of you,
well,
Billy.
Well, I was hoping, you know, I'd have a little support in this endeavor to fight Jake Paul. Are you pro Jake Paul?
I might be
Big
after
Cat,
all this.
Like, Big legit, Cat's I
might
Paul.
Be. Hey, Same. Billy, let me talk to you in your words. Legit, I might be.
I haven't decided
yet.
Yeah,
I think you're all pro
he
Jake
makes
Paul.
It hard.
No. Okay. If you're going to draw that line, if you guys are pro
I
Jake Paul.
I think that we could take some of Billy's money that he doesn't want to earn.
It's true.
10%.
That's the whole point,
Billy,
guys.
No, me personally.
Yeah.
10% of your purse. And I'm in your camp.
No. He gets 10% of his purse. We get 90.
No, we get 90.
Guys, this is supposed to be like in Peaky Blinders when they're bringing the boxers and they're like, my friend from the hills. And he's like that giant dude. I'm that giant dude who's going to fight the other dude.
Spoiler.
But Jake Paul, he's big.
No, he's tiny.
What?
I'm the big
guy. Wait, hold on. Let's go back. Hold on. Give me 5 minutes. I'm going to go back in the slides.
So even when we're not taking the podcast... Me and Big Cat over the last, 2 weeks have just randomly said to Billy, but wait, isn't Jake Paul, 6'2"? And we probably said to him maybe a dozen times, and he keeps forgetting
Every
that
time.
He's explained.
You get so
you
mad.
Guys are Alfie Solomons, and I'm okay. the dude okay. who's right. fighting for
So him. So you would talk shit on every podcast. You would get jacked as fuck.
This is the best line. I would make him think I was easily beatable, but I would rock his shit. You just said... He's not going to think you're easily beatable because you just said you're
rocking
shit. It's a
rope-de-dope. I'd probably bait him. I'd bait him and be like, yo, I'll take a dive third round. And then I wouldn't take a dive.
I think I've cut to the core of what Billy's trying to do here. It's the third bullet point on this slide where he says, I would get jacked as fucked. And now this is underneath the headline of ways that he could piss Jake Paul off. Like, Jake Paul is going to be watching Billy's train videos and be like, God damn it. Look how strong he's got.
Dude, it would piss him off.
I think the entire purpose behind this is because you want to work out and take steroids and get strong.
No, I would not take steroids. I would not take steroids.
You don't
like
care
Jake
about
Paul.
The fight. You don't want to fight Jake Paul. You just want to lift and take sick drugs.
Dude, legitimately, I just need a new athletic challenge. I'm living in a post-athlete world.
Yeah,
it really
you're like
sucks.
A dog. We need to start running you. Yeah. All right, last slide.
Hang on.
Actually, no. Go check it out for yourself. Fightpaul.com.
The Fire Salamander.
Yeah, you had to
resistant
spoil
to fire.
It. This
was
is the best
in Europe.
Now, guess what, Billy? Now I'm in.
Okay.
Dude, there's gonna be so many more people. Do you have the analytics for this website? How many hits have you had?
I don't know. I gotta check it out.
Yeah, probably millions.
So Fire Salamander is resistant to fire. Did we ever figure out if that was true?
No, it's not true. Don't put your fire salamanders in fire.
You just made that one up.
But historically, they were
goes to water to breed.
Yes.
Like Jim McElwain.
Yeah.
That was a shark fucker, right?
Oh, my God. Yes, it was. Fire up chips. All right. Let's not even do guys on chicks because this was too good. Billy, everyone go to fightpaul.com. You know what you need to do is you need to get linked up with Cash App and have like a little Cash App counter that people can donate to your fight fund.
To give to Jake Paul so he'd fight
Correct.
Me? I mean, legitimately, I could like.
Legitimately?
Yeah. This is way more realistic than you guys think. Like, I thought whole podcast
is
built
I agree.
Off the idea of doing lofty goals.
Yeah, Billy's
and
right.
Just being like shooting for the moon.
Wait,
Billy's right.
What?
That's,
like, that's
what
the whole,
is this podcast?
That's the whole podcast.
When Big Cat and Hank came to Austin, Texas,
yes.
And we sat down in my living room and recorded the first episode of Part of My Take.
Yes,
sports, comedy,
we sat
lofty
down,
goals.
Like, we're going to do a show today. We're going to talk about Chris Jones's penis breaking through his compression shorts, and also shooting for the moon because
lofty
even if you land short,
yeah.
you'll be a star.
Dude, I'm like the opposite of a lofty goal. If I have to go anywhere, I'm like, nah, okay, probably not.
PFT wants to kick in the NFL, and I want to fight
Jake Paul. Don't.
He opted out, dude.
Yeah, after you failed.
No, he opted. Oh.
When did I fail at the NFL?
Him. You should fight Billy.
No, I don't want to fight PFT. He's too short.
Fuck you, Billy. I'll fight you. You want to fight me?
No.
Yeah,
why?
Bitch.
Because you're right. A bitch. Because you know you get your shit wrecked.
I just won, bitch.
Yes.
I would get jacked as fucked, and it would piss Billy off.
And
so
Billy's got a home gym.
Billy's like too nice in his heart. He wouldn't be able to fight you.
I know. Billy, I'm doing you one quick favor because I do love you, and I like your ambition. I love your passion. That's what they say on Shark Tank.
Thank you.
When they're like, this person fucking sucks.
Yeah, this person's got shit for brains. I love your passion.
So on thesaurus.com, here's some words you can use instead of legitimately. You can use correctly, decently, equally, equitably. That's a good one.
Equitably.
Equitable. If you had said equitably, I'd be like, I'm in.
I would have already been in.
Yeah.
All these people who...
Reasonably is a good one, too.
Also, here's
like
a big selling point. If you actually, like, super hate me, I might get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a selling point.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually
a really good selling point. Yeah. That should be slide one. You want to see, hey, I'm Billy Football. Want to see me get my shit rocked?
Mm-hmm.
All right, numbers. By the way,
I love you guys.
Back in.
I love you guys.
I have a new strategy. I'm now going to pick numbers that I don't want to win. So I'm going to try not get the number on purpose.
It's brilliant.
That is smart. Okay.
Yeah, that's, so
56.
One.
We're going 8.
The kid who's been making some quitting. Take on me mixes lately, Sean Flaherty, he sent me 72 with the Take on Me remix.
72.
So quick way to get your number.
18? Wait, did you put it back?
Yep. I'm not stealing. I'm not.
Yeah, you're not Billy.
Yeah, I'm not stealing it.
All right.
PK, I want you to look at this Google Doc that I made before. I made this last night.
Okay.
And read to me what I typed in there last night.
All right. So this is, this is actually really well done. If Billy brings in the 69 ping pong ball, I will invest $10,000 in his fight.
Did you bring it in, Billy? When I asked you to last night, you remember that? I gave you an order.
Nope. No, check it.
Did you bring it in?
Last night.
No, check the edit history. You didn't write that last night.
Did you bring it in?
I didn't bring it in. It's mine.
All right, here we go.
I earned it.
56.
And I earned my
$1.
Say your numbers again.
72.
18.
Sean Flaherty. This Take on Me remix is from him.
4. Damn.
It really got me.
Life kind of sucks when we don't
and
get it.
And still.
Billy in your face.
What?
No. Jake's still champion.
You know what?
No.
Yeah.
I've climbed the mountain.
No,
I got 69.
It's the last one to get it.
Reigning champion.
You had the shortest championship of all time.
Uh-huh.
Did it even happen? I climbed the mountain.
You know what?
At the bottom of the mountain. 69
has an asterisk on it.
Mm-hmm.
Big
asterisk. Although you could make the argument if you had been smarter that since you didn't pick it, you did that intentionally, so you won today. But
possums are immune to venomous snake bites, and they carry their babies in pouches, and their body temperature is often too low to carry rabies.
Love you guys.
Life is okay. I'll be coming for you anyway.